aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis live from the United Center as we get ready for the Blackhawks tonight. Being brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. We've got Violetta with us. We've got Kevin with us. We've got our entire technical crew with us. We've got, we are ready for a broadcast. We have so many things that we are going to have to tackle before today is over, that we're going to just get to this in as quick in order as we can. This just breaking right now that the president, did you see that the president's approval rating is now the highest it has been in almost a year.
Wow.
42%.
And was that taken post Stormy Daniels interview? I wonder, probably just
prior. I think
prior.
It's just up to, I think probably those things are about 2 day lags.
Yeah.
I think that all of this helps him.
In some weird way. What, you think that people just think it's just they're beating up on him at some point?
Yeah. I think, I don't think they necessarily feel sorry for him.
No.
They don't not believe these accusers. Mm-hmm. But I think they feel like that this is irrelevant and that it plays into the narrative that he is being persecuted by the media and that they are trying to distract us from, you know, his true agenda. And the tariff, he's having a really good day. I mean, his administration, he didn't personally, but his administration has kicked 60 Russians out of the country, or going to. They're going to close a consulate on the West Coast up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. They are going to, which makes it seem as though that, you know, they are actually responding, taking one of the criticisms off the table. The Dow is up almost 700 points.
Right.
The South Koreans have agreed to change their tariff structure, their trade imbalance structure, so that they even out with us on the eve of the North Korean negotiations. So it seems like the threat of tariffs has been somewhat successful. And now that he's backing off country by country, people see that there's a method to the madness, that he's, you know, he's a lot of bluster, but maybe that's an effective negotiating tool. So I think all of a sudden he's having a moment of where he's seen as a leader. And despite the fact that he's firing everybody, you know, one a week, essentially, out of the White House, he's the, you know, his people seem to, at least 42% now. Now, again, that's up from 36%. You know, 6 out of 100 people have decided that they're going to swing over to him. But it's still, it is a move in the right direction. It must be very emboldening.
Well, and you think about it, too. It's, you know, the Stormy Daniels interview, highest ratings for 60 Minutes in 10 years since 2008. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama sat down for an interview, highest since then. And, it, you know, he's resisted.
You think the president will take credit for that?
Well, a lot of people are pointing out that the appearance of Donald Trump didn't do as well as Stormy Daniels did. And, you know, you can see why. It's very salacious and that kind of thing. But he's resisted the temptation to tweet about it or to go after her, to go after 60 Minutes or Anderson over this whole thing. Instead, he's doing what politicians in the past have been very good at. He's talking about the economy. He's talking about the positives in his administration, the things that are going well, as you point out, Ro. And you give him credit for not being, you know, drawn into this whole thing, because it feels as if that's the very kind of thing that he does and people don't like it. You know, go after Stormy. Say something stupid about her. Say something about everybody.
Right.
And he, so far, he's resisted. He's resisted that temptation. Not a tweet.
Yeah. I think that he's in a... it's fun. I mean, we'll play some of the Stormy Daniels stuff coming up for you after the bottom of the hour news. I know you probably have seen these, but I have some specific thoughts about some specific moments in this that I'd like to... I need to get off my chest. Because as I was watching it last night, I was out to dinner when it was playing.
So were you watching the caption?
No. I was at a place to have a TV, so I thought, okay, I'd recorded it and I'm waiting to get home, and my phone starts to blow up right at like 6:42.
Okay.
You know, when it's, because I think it went on the air at like 6:38 or something after the NCAA, and it's and you know, I've got friends, family, business associates, professionals, they're all like texting me, oh my God.
Did you hear?
Oh my God, no. And they, you know, this whole thing, and I'll just say this before we go any further. The part where she talks about, you know, feeling threatened, or, you know, some guy came up and threatened.
Yes.
You couldn't come up with a more nonspecific movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, I believe almost everything she said in that. When it came to the, you know, how they hooked up and all that, but I don't, maybe that happened, but it's so nonspecific, it doesn't read as real.
It was hard to understand that one. You know, she didn't go to the police, anything like that. It seems like not many people had heard about it within her circle. And the President Trump's lawyer is saying, you know, the cease and desist letter was issued because he's like, we had nothing to do with that. You're trying to insinuate that we did, but there's no proof, no evidence, no connection to us.
Right.
So clarify that.
Yeah. So we'll get to all that. Other stories, too, that are of significance today. We were just talking about this. Facebook, you can now go on Facebook and figure out
this is scary.
What data they have on you. You can ask for a report. Right?
I just did it today, and it's because I was reading journalists who had done this in the last over the weekend pretty much, and they were saying that they had found tremendous amounts of data. When you go into settings and you see download your personal data, what we have on you. Not only have they downloaded your contact lists and have your friends who are on Facebook, friends who are not on Facebook, a full look at your contacts, looks at your Messenger app usage, including the text messages you sent through it. And one reporter had evidence that they had tracked all of her phone calls for an entire year.
Oh, dear God.
The actual numbers.
Excuse me.
And who they were.
Gotta run.
There's another Rokon, isn't there? That's not you.
I'm gonna leave the country.
That's not your phone record.
I gotta go. What?
Those are
phone
rights.
Records? Wait a second. Wait, whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
This unbelievable treasure trove of data that I think a lot of us did not realize we opted in for them to be able to get, use, and sell.
Classic fine print situation.
Totally. Read that stuff. Your mom was right.
You know you're in trouble when someone prints out your phone bill and has a highlighter.
Yeah. You're like, that's not me.
It's too many times on that phone bill.
Yeah. It's hard. What's this number? Who's this?
Yeah. It's hard to fight those, too, like to sort of think that that's not you somehow.
Wasn't me.
Can I ask this question?
You seem nervous. Go ahead.
What about? Do they know you're texting? Do they know what you've been texting?
They said they had in the Messenger app. They had actual texts.
If you're trying to keep something secret, you're going to message someone instead of text message them.
You're gonna go through Messenger, you mean?
Yeah, because it's not on your phone. It's not just gonna pop up.
See, I'm more worried to do that because it's an app. It's a third party app.
Uh huh.
I guess if you're being
very careful on that stuff.
That's why I use the new Putin app, which allows me to communicate illicitly with Russians and whoever else I want to.
Pretty shocking, though.
Oh my God!
Facebook says it was an opt-in situation. Everyone opted in to for this, but I think most of us did
not. What do you mean we opted in?
All opt-in. That's what Facebook's defense is: that you opted in to allow this data to be mined
and how did
kept
we...
and stored and sold and used, and now you can go in and opt out because I think most of us didn't realize we opted in.
Well, fine print is an interesting. Problem. It always has been, mm-hmm. right? And so they started, the Federal Trade Commission started making changes about what the fine print can actually say and how fine the print can be, right? And then they, mm-hmm. especially when it came to things that could hurt you, like medications and other sorts of dietary things, they're trying to at least help you in terms of things you put in your mouth. But in terms of how you use your own identity, mm-hmm. right, I think with your bank account and all that, I mean, how many things when you go on the internet do you, like iTunes or whatever it is, you want to buy something, you just click on the terms of service, whether it's Amazon or iTunes
or
Twitter or whatever it is, and you just, because you're like, okay, whatever. Okay, whatever.
Because the whole point of most of those apps are the convenience of it. So the last thing you're going to do, you just want to order something off Amazon. The last thing you want to do is read fine print for 2 hours.
And the fine print is like 60 pages, and you don't even understand what it is.
No.
And it's not like you can line it out like you do in a contract. You go, all right, well, you know what? All right, so Mr. Bezos, I need to get you on the blower and talk a little bit about your terms of service over there on the Amazon.
Yeah, how do you fight it?
I'll do B and C.
Right, paragraph 32, subset E.
I'm going to redline that. My attorney doesn't like it.
That one I don't like.
Well, that's the question. Even if we don't like it, are we still going to sign up for it?
I know. Even if I read something and it was like, I'm like, I don't know, but I still really need that from Amazon, like, tomorrow. Click. Yeah. Bye.
Amazon's new slogan is, what are you going to do, go to the store?
Yeah, really.
Just click yes, all right?
I'm actually a little nervous because I've just got the email in my inbox that says your information is ready to download what Facebook has on you.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure I want to know.
Oh, we should do that live on the air.
Yes.
We'll have to go back to that, see what that is, because
I'm
downloading the archive right now.
I don't know. Oh, God, really?
Yes. We should do that for every one of us on the show. We'll do it live.
I'm good.
Expose all of us.
I'm good.
We'll have to be sick for the next week.
It's better not to know sometimes.
Yeah, just forget.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, it's a zip file. It looks really big, too.
Ooh, zip file.
123 megabytes.
I have a lot on you, Anna.
Hello. I've been on Facebook a long time, so this is
the worst thing ever, is we could have like a group of Violetta's friends and her family, and we do like a public reading of the Facebook account.
Boris like, could be here for it.
Right, like...
Every time, who is that?
Hey! I don't think he knows how to read.
not in Cyrillic, right?
Right.
All right. We'll hold on 1 second. Let's check in with Judy right now, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Early morning, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kopmeyer's weather forecast, Sarah Gindra's traffic reports, weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
All right, we have Mr. Tom Skilling joining us right now from the WGN-TV Weather Center.
Ro and Anna, how are
Hi,
you?
Tom.
Happy Monday to you.
Happy
Monday. Good weekend.
It was. You know, let me just tell you something. Uh-huh. I decided I want to. I walked over to the zoo yesterday.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah.
It was sunny out too.
It was sunny, and it was like that scene from Dr. Zhivago where he leaves the army and he walks across the frozen Siberian tundra to try to get back to his home.
Uh-huh.
And
which exhibit did you pick?
I wanted to go see the polar bears.
Oh,
I wanted to go see, because we had the guy on last week.
You wanted to see the polar bear courtship.
Yes. There's apparently, they've tried to get these two polar bears. They brought a girl polar bear in from Detroit to meet with their young male that they've got there.
They're not going to do long distance, though.
No, they're together. No,
okay,
she's
good.
Staying here.
Okay,
she
good.
Moved here.
Good.
And she's orange. Which is part
what
of the
mean?
Yeah, she's got, you know, there's polar bears have you know, they can take on based on their diet and some other environmental issues. They get sometimes they're not like white.
And Detroit turned her orange.
Yeah, she turned orange in Detroit. Yeah, she's
Donald Trump tan spray.
She does look a little. She does look a little.
Michigan, Trump state.
Right, she looks a little.
Take the Trump spray, please.
Yeah, and she's a lot smaller than he is, and so it was described in the Tribune story about this courtship that he's like smitten with her and he's kind of obsessed and he follows her everywhere.
Totally working. Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what was going on. Wherever she went, he went.
Wow. So you were really watching to see how they were getting on.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted to check out.
Yeah.
There's nothing creepy about
no.
that. It's fine.
Well,
no, it's fine.
It's a normal way to spend your weekend. Yeah.
It's a cute story.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I wanted to go see this there were tons of people. It was the most attended exhibit at Lincoln Park.
Oh.
And so, you know, people were waiting to get in when they would come out. And it's a big, it's a big exhibit. So you have to. There's two sides to it. And so when they would move into the other side, people would run around,
shuffle around
to
and
go
check it
see
out.
It and then come back to
and
watch.
You still have the underwater and the up above, right?
Right,
I haven't
right.
seen it yet, but I heard the new enclosure is really spectacular.
It's really nice. And I thought it was, and then I saw a lion playing with his ball and he dropped it into the moat there and got all dejected.
Uh-huh.
And then Brent, my point in telling Tom this story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was wondering
was
where we were
sunny,
going with this.
It was sunny, but now this is right on the lakefront, right?
Yeah,
it was sunny and beautiful,
yes.
And I have never been so cold in my life.
Know. You know, we went up with a crew to on the breaker, the Cutter Mackinac, which is an icebreaker up in the Upper Lakes. We went out of Sault Ste. Marie last week to cover what they do, how they make transportation possible in the Great Lakes, and it was cold.
Oh,
and they said it was 8 above when we were out there, southeast of Lake Superior. And it felt like it, too. It was cold. You know, Rowan, when I hear you describe this, see, we don't need Facebook to figure out what you're doing. Tell us all right here.
Yeah, right,
you
know? I know.
It's
I
all
know.
Out for us to hear.
I know. This is the old school Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the way Facebook was 100 years ago right here on this radio station. Yeah.
But I know what you mean, Ed. There was a biting quality to the wind this weekend that was blue.
Well, we looked outside in the morning, and you thought, oh, it's sunny. This is going to be one of those nice days.
Yeah.
It's sort of a little crisp, but no, it was cold. It was cold.
It was very chilly. The next 2 days will feel a little warmer. It's going to cool back down again. And, in fact, you're struck over the next 2 weeks by, when you look at all the data that we look at, by how cool the pattern does look. So let's enjoy the next few days. We'll be within striking distance of 60 tomorrow. But, you know, some people have sent me some beautiful shots of the ice that has developed from the spray off Lake Michigan with these waves that we had. And at least we missed that big snowstorm. It tracked just south of us.
Yeah, I mean, we had that, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I think the polar, it would have been better for the polar bears. I think they were going to had some polar nookie going on there.
Snowstorms. A lot of babies are born in snowstorms, right? It's very good for babies.
Kind of what we were made, at least, in snowstorms. And I think in this particular case, a little baby making snow would have been good for your polar bear. Tlingit and Kwakutl or whatever the hell their names are.
Sure, as they were talking with one another, they said, hey, you know, this is not bad here. This is kind of like home.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is he is kind of like annoying her. And at one point, she kind of turned around and snapped. But then at one point, now, it was funny because I asked a lady, this is how crazy I am about this. I asked, there's a lady standing there watching the thing. I go, are they getting along? Mm-hmm. And she goes, yes. She just sniffed his butt. And we're like, oh, great. I mean, this is the conversation people are having there because people have read this story, or I like to believe they listened to the radio show and heard this.
No, you gave great detail about the way the polar bear courtship works.
Yeah.
I thought that was very educational.
And then I went out to, because I wanted to go see it for myself. Mm-hmm. They are adorable animals.
I love polar bears.
Beautiful. Beautiful animals.
And when you see it, it inspires you to want to protect their habitat, and you understand they're ambassadors for the species in a lot of ways.
There was a picture that made the rounds a couple of weeks ago of a polar bear that was starving, and it was really heartbreaking.
I saw it. Oh, gosh.
It's terrible. It's like those commercials they have with Sarah McLachlan singing in the background. The animals
in
the
street. Stop singing. I cry.
Why did they turn it off?
2-minute-long commercials, and you're like, okay, the dog's shaking. I get it.
No.
You're ruining my breakfast. That's all I want to say to them.
It's terrible.
I'm trying to watch CNN because I want to learn about Stormy Daniels.
Right.
And I'm looking at a starving cold dog.
Trying to pretend there's no suffering in the world. And here we go, reminding
us. A whole group of them. It's just one after another. It's heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like you had a wonderful afternoon, Ro.
No, it was something.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Better for me than it was for the lion who lost his ball.
That is sad, too.
It was really fun because he had this gigantic ball. It was like one of those yoga ball kind of things, And he was trying to keep it from, it was on a downward slope down toward the moat, and he was trying to keep it up above the moat, and he was using his front paws and his hind paws, and he was looking down, and then the thing kind of slid away from him, and then he watched it go down, and then he watched it roll, and it was the most forlorn look you've ever seen on this lion, who was looking like down at it, like, oh, no. I can't get down.
That.
And then he's looking around thinking, can I get down there? I think I can. Can I get down? I don't know. We can get down there.
Yep.
So that was, anyway. It's a nice. That's my day at the zoo. Thank you very much. I should have written a children's book. I don't know why.
You should have. Well, we feel like we've been part of the experience, Ro. Just hearing you describe it.
Thank you. Is it going to be warmer this week?
Yes, tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow 58, 57. Wednesday.
Beautiful.
So, can't shake a stick at that. That's pretty nice.
No. Are we going to have sun too?
No. It's going to rain tonight and tomorrow morning, city and north. Tomorrow afternoon, the rain will settle into the southern suburbs. Probably won't go away, though, there. It could last into tomorrow night. Then some sun comes back on Wednesday and Thursday. Be a mix of sun and clouds.
Okay.
So,
all right, we broke in the back of winter. We're good.
We're on our way.
Thank you. We did it. By the way, we're live at the United Center today before the Blackhawks take on the San Jose's, sponsored by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good.
Oh.
Okay. Speaking of sharks, we have a relation to that in Trump and Stormy Daniels we could talk about later. Did you guys hear that detail?
Yes, it's coming up. We're going to play some of the interview from last night. I just have a few thoughts about a few of the details here. I don't want to replay
you
the
had
whole
quite
thing.
An after a day yesterday. You went from Lincoln Park Zoo to 60 Minutes,
And right.
It's just, yeah.
Well, I had Chinese food in between, so that worked out nicely.
Did you see the ratings, by the way, on 60 Minutes last night?
Oh,
We looked at the overnights here. They had like a 20 rating, which is, that's Super Bowl territory.
It's huge, and it wasn't like after a major NFL game or anything. It came after the Stormy Daniels.
It was
the
NCAA playoffs, right?
Yeah, they had it was the Elite Eight.
But you're right.
Was the lead-in, though, really strong, Tom? Or was it?
It improved from the lead-on and dropped off after the lead-in.
After Stormy, when they got to the basketball story.
Yeah.
About the guy who's got an unpronounceable last name. You're like, okay, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yes, I'm speeding through that. All right, thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it, guys. It's good to talk to you. Happy Monday.
Thank you. Judy Palak's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlanche right here on 720 WGN. We're live from the United Center before the Hawks take on San Jose Sharks tonight. Brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I want to play a little bit of the... there's a few things that happened in the Stormy Daniels thing. I have some questions, and I thought maybe we could maybe work them all out together.
Let's try to understand what we heard.
Yeah, I think so. And I would like to... Okay, so here's what we understand. Mm-hmm. She gets invited up to his hotel room.
Right.
To have dinner.
Is it Beverly Hills?
This is in... doesn't it take place in Tahoe? I think this takes place in Tahoe.
This
right?
is Tahoe. Okay.
Yeah.
Chicken nuggets?
The other one, the other lady, she was at the Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay. Got
who
it.
Loves him. She loves him, and that's his that's
Dougal.
Her president.
Karen Dougal?
Karen McDougal.
McDougal.
Or whatever her name is.
Whatever.
She loves him. She's all for him, but yet she's still telling this story. I didn't understand a word of what was going on in that.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. And quite honestly, I don't understand why it is that Anderson Cooper mm-hmm. is doing all these interviews with these women. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like Mike Pence is trying to do, like, reversion therapy or something with Anderson Cooper. All right, now here's what we're going to do. We need you to meet these women, and maybe you're going to like girls. I don't know. Is that
what? Well, he positioned it by saying it's not so much that there was an affair that's the story. It's what's happened since, and that's how he positioned it. But really, the interview is all about the come
right,
on.
Right.
So, the salacious details of the affair.
Which is why we end up with a story like this.
And I'll never forget the look on his face. He was
what was look?
Wait a second. Hold on.
I don't think
we have to go back before that.
We need a little more context.
Yeah, we need a little more context. Yeah, let's go back to the magazine. I'm sorry. That's I got ahead of myself. Here we go.
How was the conversation?
It started off all about him, just talking about himself, and he's like, "Have you seen my new magazine?"
He was showing you his own picture on the cover of the magazine.
Right. And so I was like, does this normally work for you? And he looked very taken back. Like, he didn't really understand what I was saying. Like, does this, you know, talking about yourself normally work? And I was like, someone should take that magazine and spank you with it.
Okay. All right. Now, there are a few things I'd like to stop by
okay.
here.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Oh, does this normally work for you? Meaning, does it get you girls? Right? That's what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, a little later in the interview, you're going to hear that she was surprised that there was a sexual...
Overturn?
Turn of events
okay.
in this. But here she is. Does this work for you? And then it was like, there's your picture, and maybe we should have some spanking, because you're a bad billionaire. Bad, bad billionaire.
Okay.
you're like, what? And this is where she totally lied. I mean, not that I was ever, again, with all of these women, we get it. Yes. It undoubtedly all happened. I don't have a doubt in my mind mm-hmm. that any of this happened exactly as they're saying it happened. The question is, who gives a poop?
Why
about
are we
it?
Talking about it? Why?
Because he paid them all to shut up, and who cares about that? Right? Except, I'm sorry, Michael Cohen paid one of them to shut up.
Right.
Because Donald Trump couldn't do it, because that would have been too obvious a week before the,
week before the election.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the look on his face. And he was
what was look?
Just, I don't think anyone's ever spoken to him like that. Especially, you know, a young woman who looked like me. And I said, you know, give me that. And he, I just remember him going, you wouldn't. Hand it over. And so he did. And I was like, turn around, drop him.
You told Donald Trump to turn around and take off his pants?
Yes.
And did he?
Yes. So he turned around and pulled his pants down a little.
Oh,
and, you know, he had underwear on and stuff, and I just gave him a couple swats.
Boxers are brief. I was hoping they'd clarify that.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping they'd clarify nothing more and stop there. It's just, oh, my gosh. Come on.
I'm going to get a fake magazine with my face on it and bring it to the bar. Say, ladies.
You see?
Well, he's got the fake
cover Time.
Right? He had the fake Time magazine cover, right?
Right.
He's got the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the one where maybe they should. Do you think he takes the Time magazine cover where his head is real small and his body's real huge? Do you think he shows
one?
That? Do you think he shows that one? I don't think so. But, all right, I want to go back to this scene now.
Okay.
How much do you have to pay for this extra to roll up a magazine and get swatted with it?
She suggested
well,
it.
Well, this is just laying down the groundwork, right? I mean, this is her flirting with him, starting the conversation of, hey, I'm interested.
Right.
She's in this hotel room.
Well, okay.
I don't think that conversation really had to be had.
Well, no, although she said she came there with the idea of discussing a business meeting discussion about whether or not she could be a contestant on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Right, right, right,
that's
right.
Why she went. Mm-hmm. And it was clear that that didn't happen from the second she was
sure,
there.
Sure, I'm sure we
she
could work something out if you want to get on my TV show.
Oh, yeah, that's what...
Just
yeah.
Meet me in my suite.
How Weinstein-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. And then both of the women who've been out in the media in the last week both kind of make this sort of similar... have this similar kind of story, which is a little creepy.
This was done in a joking manner.
Yes. And from that moment on, he was a completely different person.
How so?
He quit talking about himself, and he asked me things, and I asked him things, and it just became like, you know... more appropriate.
Became more comfortable.
Yeah. He's like, wow, you are special. You remind me of my daughter. You know, he's like, you're smart, beautiful, and a woman to be reckoned with. I like you. I like you.
Let's get it on. The daughter thing is a weird.
Ewy.
That's a weird deal.
It's a little.
Do you
ewy.
Really before like you know you're bringing a porn star up into your hotel room and do you really want to equate her with your daughter?
The last thing you want to think about right then is your kids.
You hope.
Yeah. As you're getting spanked with a magazine and
your face on it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Make sure my face hits my butt. Hold on.
Yuck. But what about the fact that he was watching Shark Week when she came in and he made her watch the entire thing?
That was the second.
Oh, was that the
that
second
was the
person?
The second time they were together. No.
The second time. It was still Stormy, right?
Yeah, Stormy. But she said okay. She didn't have sex at that
That's,
point.
Well, Shark who Week's would? Right up his alley.
I mean, how sexy is it to watch like some tiger shark pulling people's limbs off and then,
hey, you want to spank me again with my magazine?
This is the best part. This is when the shark kills him.
Hey, sit down. And then he was like patting her on the head and saying, you know, you're so beautiful. Maybe, you know, I remember last time we were together, it was so great. And she claims that she paired off at that point. She
left?
She didn't, after watching Shark Week for an hour and then him like, putting his hand on her thigh, she's like, okay, all right, come on this time, maybe, come on. All right,
well,
now
it's hardly Barry White, you know. I mean, why would you? I don't understand it.
I don't know. This Karen McDougal woman, she thinks she likes the way Trump. He's really good looking, and she said he's got great posture. And I stop and I think that's the least of his attributes is his posture, because he walks around, sort of, you know, where he throws one foot out in front and then catches up with it. Mm-hmm. When he walks, he's got that sort of I'm walking into the room like a tough guy, like he's on Broadway playing a tough guy.
Right.
It's weird.
He must have some amazing charisma, though, because, you know, people like that, they love him.
Yes. Well, I mean, he's very successful.
Money doesn't hurt.
That's an interesting point, Violette. I never thought of that.
Did he mention his wife or child at all in this?
I asked, and he brushed it aside, said, oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about that. We have separate rooms and stuff.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll be in and out. She'll have no clue. It's perfect. I actually have a secret door out the back.
Well, I am a porn star, so this could get a little loud. It's all right. Soundproofing. Michael Cohen's going to stand outside the door.
Yuck.
He'll have your payment on the way out.
All right. A little bit later on, we're going to get to the Money Shiner, where she's surprised by what happens.
See what you did there with the
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because she's surprised by the attention that he's showing her. And she's like, okay, I got to do this. Really?
This is like an incredible novel. Like in the next chapter of Stormy and Donald, we'll get to the money shot. It's
She goes to the bathroom, and then what happens? Coming up
next. Stay tuned.
Right now, Judy Pilak is in the WGN newsroom telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news.
One of the biggest fencing rings in the Midwest, right here in the Chicago area. We'll have more at 4.
Hey, that's my stuff. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Broadcasting the Knott Center before the Blackhawks take on the San Jose Sharks. Brought to you by Sitco. Sitco is fueling good. And here is Chef Mike.
One of our favorite people in the whole wide world.
He is executive chef for Levy Restaurants. He's here at the United Center. He's also going to be at Guaranteed Rate Field this summer as well, because he's the executive chef for that as well. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But a couple. Let's get a little bit of business out of the way here.
Sure.
Congratulations on, you know, he's a gigantic Philadelphia fan because he grew up in Southeast Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So you know, we talked about your Eagles winning and how crazy you were about that. Now you got Villanova in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Now, before you get all too excited about that, remember, there's a little team from Chicago in the Final Four, too. You might notice. Now,
We are a Catholic school, too.
Yes,
so we have God on our side, too.
There's Father, they say the New York Times had an article today about Father Rob is Villanova's answer to Sister Jean. So they've got some prayers in their corner,
I do
too.
Not know Father Rob, but giddy up, whatever helps.
All I'm going to say is that if Michigan or Kansas win, then it's...
Michigan and
you're right.
The other four.
You got it. He got it right. Yeah, he got it right. Yeah, we're going to go the other way.
So you have Villanova winning it all, I assume, Chef
yes.
Mike.
Yeah.
I do too in the pool.
Very passionate about Villanova basketball.
I had
fond
Xavier
memories as
winning
a kid.
The whole thing.
How'd that work out?
You should have called me. I'd have told you not to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that didn't work out really for me. I had a lot of things out. We had Virginia in the Final Four. I had Xavier winning the whole thing. It wasn't good.
Well, this could be the year. Something crazy really does happen, right? A 16 beat a 1.
Yep.
How about an 11 seed winning the whole thing, huh? The lowest seed to ever win the whole thing.
Possible.
You know who has that record right now?
The lowest seed to win the whole thing?
Yes.
Who?
Villanova when they beat Georgetown in 85.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So look at that.
Becomes an 8 seed, right?
Dynasty.
Yeah, as an 8 seed. And it was, I don't know how they won that game.
When Villanova won a couple years ago, were they a 1 seed?
No, I don't think they were a 1. Usually when they're one, they don't have the best of luck.
Yeah. See, this is
there amazing. Is a Chicago tie. Their point guard's Stevenson's very own, Jalen Brunson.
Jalen
Lincolnshire.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully player of the year.
All right.
Loyola, though. I don't know. Boy.
You got to love this story.
You
got to awesome.
Root for them, yeah, right?
And I didn't know that whole 1963 thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I only knew Texas Western, thought that was the first team. Yeah. But that was a complete team. These guys did it when, you know, before that, like, couple years ahead of them.
And it's amazing. It's an amazing thing, too, that you've got these guys who've been playing together for 4 years, essentially, right? And they've got those two guys have been playing together since they were 8.
Custer and Richardson.
Yeah.
They never lose. They won, like, national titles when they were 9 and 10 years old in local AAU stuff. And they keep playing together and they keep winning.
Something to be said about winning. You have that in your blood to be a winner.
Right.
You
know? Well, isn't that the truth, though? The great athletes all have that. You know, that's why Jay Cutler, that's what the one thing they said about Jay Cutler, was Jay Cutler never won anything going back to like peewee football.
Right.
He never won anything.
Right. All the athletic gifts in the world, and yet, I don't know, something about that winning spirit.
Ro, it's so funny you say that because I have this conversation with my son all the time. And whenever there's a spot for a coach to be hired, I always look and say, what has he won? Mm-hmm. Not as a head coach, maybe, but has he won? Does he know the process of what it takes to win it all?
It's a good question.
And that's who I want to hire, right? Not the new, this guy's sexy, but has he won? Has he won a title somewhere along his career because he knows what it takes to get to that level?
All right, so speaking of winning, I want to ask you a question about what's happened out here at the United Center. You got this deal over here, the new atrium.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you can walk into the atrium at any time. As a matter of fact, when I was walking in here earlier, there was a guy who came rushing up to me who seemed to be an Asian national of some sort who wanted to see the Michael Jordan statue. Because as you know, basketball is gigantic right in Asia. And he was like, where's the Michael Jordan statue? Where's Michael Jordan? And so I said, we have to go inside. And he was like, no, outside. I go, no, it was inside. They moved it inside. So I walk him around to the door. And you can walk into the atrium, you know, during business hours.
Right, it's public.
Regardless of whether there's a game here or a concert here or anything. It's open, you know, in regular business hours. It's a regular now tourist attraction at the atrium on the east side of the United Center. So he walks in. There's the beautiful statue right there. And I walk, you know, past him and take a picture with he and his family, of his family. Not me. I don't think they get me in Beijing. But they get me. They just don't understand me.
Uh-huh.
I walk past, and after I'm walking through, all of a sudden, I walk past this new thing that is like it's a gigantic bar.
It's got like city street scenes spray painted on the back on the brick wall. It's
right.
Really cool.
And it's got bourbon on tap, and it's got food. It's got dark matter coffee that everybody's talking about right now. That's a big deal. That dark matter coffee is a big thing.
It's good.
And you're telling me that this is like a permanent fixture in here?
Yes, this is. You know, I wanted to talk about it from the very beginning, and now it's finally open. So right now it opens, like you said, business hours. And then, of course, game day, it stays open throughout the game. And, you know, it's a partnership with Dark Matter Coffee and the Heiser Group. We also have food, right, that go with the coffee. We have different pastries. And then also the food component was a collaboration with Heisler, and it's a stuffed pizza pocket.
Oh,
but
the best.
We put an Asian street food kind of, you know,
take
on it.
Yeah.
And so the pockets are filled with Szechuan chicken or char siu pork. There's a beef. And then there's a great fried cauliflower vegetarian.
So good.
And there's a couple of sides that go along with it as well. And you can get a wonton nacho with any of the toppings.
So you can do like the nacho plate instead of the pizza pocket. And you put the same stuff on it. I love that idea.
Yeah, and it just gives you a different option. And this is it's awesome. It's something different that we've never really done here before at the United Center. So it's a great little destination.
So people who you know, are around the West Loop, or they're around this area, whatever it happens to be, or they want to come over and see the Jordan statue.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the area. This is a good place. This is a good place to go pick up coffee here at the stadium, essentially. And this, and a great lunch. Craveable.
Yeah, the coffee opens at 10, and food opens at 11 on regular days, and then it closes with the atrium, which I believe is around 6 o'clock.
Wow.
So this is part of the vision of making this more a 24-hour destination, right? That's the vision for the United Center. We're going to be coming here for more.
7 days a week.
Yeah, it's one-stop shopping. I mean,
days a week.
You don't know how many people come to visit that statue. And now if they come hungry, they have an opportunity to get something to eat, and if they're thirsty, something to drink. And like you said with the Bourbon County on tap, we also have some great crafted cocktails. There's a lemon shake-up, a root beer and rye, and a strawberry daiquiri.
The root beer and rye is pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
the root beer and everything is pretty anything is pretty spectacular.
This is amazing. When the atrium opened, I kept thinking, okay, what are they gonna how is this gonna work? Because I know the idea was to keep it open and have just people coming by regardless of what's happening in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really working. It's really
totally.
It's something that is actually taking off, which is pretty cool.
And it's not done yet.
Yeah, there's
surprises.
Can you give us a little hint of something coming up?
Something? Because
he keeps everything a secret.
I know. You know what? They should hire him as chief of staff.
We're still trying to get the green drink ingredients out of you. It's been like 3 years now.
I can't tell you yet. But it's coming. It's coming.
Okay. Whatever.
When you come back next year, we'll be able to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he lights up like it's super spectacular, but we just don't get to know.
Yeah, I can't. I'd have to kill you if I told you. All right, so, and I know next week is the home opener for the White Sox. We're all going to be out there. You're going to be out there. And then on Friday of next week, you're going to bring a bunch of the White Sox stuff over for us, the stuff from the Guaranteed Rate Field. They're unveiling all the food on Monday, I think, right?
I think tomorrow's media day, so they'll show some of the new food tomorrow, and then we'll definitely bring by to the studio some food bits.
There's a secret. He was just telling me, and I'm going to be like him now. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
He was just telling me about this thing. I got to tell you, I've always said that the experience, growing up a Cubs fan, the experience at that Sox Park when it left being the old Comiskey Park and they built that new one and they finally got it fixed. After they got it fixed, it's as great a fan experience as you're going to get anywhere because the food is great, the stuff for kids is great, the restaurants are really, really good. You know, if you go to the clubs, whatever it happens to be. The stand food there is got, you know, like it is here. You have this amazing option, and every year it changes a little bit, and you add new things. And he's adding something, again, I can't tell you, that...
Well, you know?
It revolutionizes, yes. He told me, because I tackled him to the ground.
Wait a minute.
And I was able to get this out of him.
You got to tell us.
No, you can't say
no,
that.
No, I can't. I won't say.
I'll bring it Friday.
He's going to bring it next Friday.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're doing this, and it's going to lead. It's either going to be the best idea of all times or the worst idea of all times. I think it's going to be the best.
You like it.
We don't want to hype it too much in case it doesn't work out.
But. What do you mean doesn't work out? Is it food related?
Yeah, it's food related. It's food and drink related.
Food and
together?
Drink related.
Yeah, that's enough, Chef.
That might be the secret. We can't let that happen.
So it's really going to be something.
Excited. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a very, very fun summer out there. And let's hope that, you know, when we head back here in the fall, we'll be back here one more time before we're actually going to be out here. Now that I think about it, that Friday that we're talking about, we're back here.
The day after.
Oh, Okay.
So we'll have to do that here.
We could do it here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that works.
But you know, hopefully, you know, next season, and you got the whole summer of concerts. There's a great shows that have been announced here for the summer. So we got that whole thing going. But then when we come back here,
Labor Cup in September. So that's the tennis version of the Ryder Cup. So last year it was in Prague. Mm-hmm. This year it's going to be at the United Center.
Oh, fun.
And
wow.
It's all
is that
top...
why all the big tennis talent were in town recently?
Yeah.
The mayor and everything? Oh.
And there's some cool activation they might be doing in the parking lots, maybe practice courts and different things like that. So it's going to be a really cool, unique event.
That will be great.
Yeah, wow.
And the first time in the States, it's here.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, too.
Yeah. So yeah. We're... so that's an indoor tennis is incredibly fun to watch. Actually, any kind of live tennis, it's like hockey. Once you've gone to it, you're like, why haven't I done this before? Mm-hmm. You cannot see the ball when you're live. You can't see it.
You mean when you're watching on television?
Live, it's so fast that it's a blur. You kind of you see that it's a ball,
right?
But you know you see something,
right?
But it doesn't look like a ball. It looks like a streak of yellow going through.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you call it yellow or green?
Whatever it is,
okay.
It's yellow. I think
it's green.
I think it's yellow.
Anyway, I say yellow.
Thank you, Violetta. Anyway, the point is, it's going so fast.
Depends on the time of the day what color it is,
right? Oh, and it's loud. The serve is loud.
Uh-huh.
It's like the athleticism. You cannot believe how gifted these people
are.
Sure.
They have to anticipate where the ball is going to go because there's no way you can follow it.
Right.
Well, they're serving it. I mean, even Serena serves it over 100 miles an hour, right?
How about that?
Yeah. Ugh. Even Venus played really well in the desert last week. It is a ton of fun to watch.
And great athletes.
Great athletes.
Players.
And you just can't believe the it's thrilling because when they actually return the shot, unlike what I can do in tennis, when they actually return the shot and it goes in, the speed and the athleticism and how fast they're moving between and laterally is just
right.
That'll be
hand-eye coordination
here.
Just through the roof.
People should come out and see that because that'll be and there's not a bad seat in the house for indoor tennis.
And while you're here,
and they're modifying the bowl a little bit too. That would be cool.
Yeah,
the make that stadium kind of tennis feel. Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be a spectacular event.
Like hockey, it's so much better live.
Will the root beer and rye be available during the tennis matches, do you think? Going to be open?
That I'll have to double check because there's definitely going to be activation in the atrium.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to find out for sure if that spot will be available. I know we're doing there's different levels of packages that you can purchase. So in the atrium, there will be a package where you have food and beverage as part of your experience in the atrium,
right.
As
Roger,
well as other locations in the building.
Roger Federer is going to make your pizza bowl here with the char siu pork.
Well, you added all kinds of different names to it.
Yeah, whatever that. What do you call that?
The Asian street concept just went to pizza, burrito.
Well, it looks like pizza, but it's not. It's like
pizza. It's pizza dough. It's got
pizza
a little
dough, but it looks like pita.
I think it's throwing you off because it's got a little, you know, dark sesames on it. Maybe that's throwing
you. Why would you do that to me, Chef? Why are you throwing me off like that?
It's delicious. So whatever you're doing is absolutely right. It's
all
just
right.
Perfect.
All right. Chef, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We're going to be seeing a lot of you over the next couple of weeks. And what a busy man you are.
Yeah, I'm happy to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's working for great people, so it's fun.
I can't wait to hear what you've done new at Guaranteed Rate, because that's going to be, again, you never go bad. We'll talk about it next week, about the hot dog thing. And then what he's chosen to do here is quite interesting, quite controversial.
Oh.
Yes.
Really?
Now you're really going to have her wondering.
How can you tease us anymore?
It's
we have to wait
a long
week for this?
Week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it out of
here. Violetta, your traffic brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Right now, the outbound Stevenson is doing a little bit better. That earlier accident near Lamont has been cleared. It's an hour now, Lakeshore Drive to 355, about 36 minutes back in. Traffic is also sponsored by Jewel. Shop Jewel Osco for a hot price on Cook Spiral Sliced Hams, just 99 cents a pound with $25 minimum purchase, limit one, and then green asparagus, just 99 cents a pound. If you want personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Violetta Podramatic, WGN Traffic.
Gina Palak, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Trash talking Sister Jean, but you'll want to hear this. We'll have more coming up at 4:30.
We're live at the United Center for the Hawks take on San Jose, brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good. Mm-hmm. And
we're feeling good, too.
Yeah.
Out here at the UC.
Yeah. Chef Mike was just here. He's Chef Mike is the chef for not only United Center, but also the Guaranteed Rate Field.
Mm-hmm.
Sox Park for short.
I call it Sox Park. Yeah. I know, but now that
we have an official partnership
with the White Sox family, we have to call it Guaranteed Rate Field because that's what they paid the money for.
You know, it's like in the family now.
Yeah, Sox Park.
I don't think they were so big on that. Or the other nickname we nicknamed
G Spot.
They didn't like that either. They were strong on that one right up front.
I thought they'd like it.
I actually ran into one of the guys from Guaranteed Rate Mortgage. He said he didn't really like the idea of that either. So that was kind of sort of an interesting.
Your mortgage didn't go through them. Huh?
Yeah, it was kind of a bit of an issue. There was a kind of a moment. There was that. Steve Stone is joining us right now. Chicago White Sox broadcaster and baseball legend, Cy Young Award winner. But that's not what he's known for. He's known for his appearances on this radio program. Would you say that's right, Steve? Isn't that the most common thing that
I would
people
say
come up
that's
and talk
exactly
to you about?
Right. I mean, it was a struggling career. It was something that I don't know, just kind of was moving along, and all of a sudden, I get reunited with WGN, and now people are just streaming to me, and that autograph that I had that was worth nothing and going down in value is now worth about 3 cents. So I got to thank you guys for that. That's been wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank God you have us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, So Cactus League is over. I saw the pictures yesterday of them loading up the truck. Uh-huh. You know, they got all these semis and they're putting all the sports drinks on them. And I'm thinking, they brought them down there, then they transported them back. I don't know why they have to take the sports drinks back. I don't know, but they're on their way back. They're in Charlotte playing taking on the minor league team, and then it all starts in earnest on Thursday. And Kevin and I were just talking about this. The White Sox, it seemed to me, Steve, that there was some nice gelling happening toward the end of Cactus League play for them, although a little bit of the injury bug is starting to pop here.
Well, certainly. I mean, you try to get through spring training with everybody getting their swings, everybody getting their pitches, and you hope against hope, because the record is irrelevant. You just hope that you don't have any injuries. And, of course, unfortunately, this year, there was Jake Berger, Achilles tendon. He's going to be out for the year. There was Lewis Robert. He hurt his thumb. And when you slide, sometimes the thumb is bent back. So he's anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks. We don't know exactly. And, yes, there were some injuries, certainly things that were nagging. But the key players, for the most part, at this juncture, are healthy and ready to go. That's a good thing. Things that came out of spring training, the actual evolution of Adam Engel before your eyes. This is a guy hitting the 160s last year, and he's so valuable because of his defense. You can be the greatest defender around. You can play all three outfield positions if you want. You hit 160, probably they're going to find somebody else. He was smart enough and understood enough about himself to realize that he's got to change something because he was very unhappy with last year, justifiably so. He changed everything, and now he's come back along with Todd Steverson, and they've gone through a whole lot of things. In the meantime, the guy now hit well over 300, but you can't be fooled by averages in Arizona. I was looking at the stroke. I was looking at the hand position. I was looking at his foot. I was looking at where his head was when he did swing. He's a completely different hitter. We're seeing it, and we're going to benefit from that. So there were some positives down here in Arizona, and the great thing is the season is ready to start, and everybody breathes a sigh of relief.
Yeah. Steve, one of the players that gets most White Sox fans excited is Yoan Moncada, who's a top-ranked prospect in baseball for years. They get him in the Chris Sale trade. This spring, they've experimented with him at the leadoff spot, and I'm just curious, how do you think he projects long-term? Is he a middle-of-the-order type guy that's going to hit a bunch of homers and drive in a bunch of runs, or is he more of a leadoff or even batting second-in-lineup type player?
Well, look, this is not a curse. This is great. When you're a rare combination of speed and power from both sides of the plate, by the way, and hit the ball as hard as he did. Well, this guy can really run. And so the first thing that comes to mind, when you look at what he did last year, sure, he missed a lot of pitches. But then you look at his eye, and you realize that he's only 22 years old. I mean, everybody wants him to be Mike Trout. You know, everybody wants him to be Bryce Harper. Well, you know, those guys developed very quickly, and they came here. But they had one thing in common, both of those guys. They were from the United States. They knew the language. They knew the culture. They knew what to order at restaurants. They knew where to sleep, when to sleep, how you do this, everything about this country, the driving, and everything that goes into assimilating into a culture. They already knew it. Big advantage. Moncada, born and raised in Cuba, he didn't have any of that. He had to come over to a brand new country where he didn't know essentially what to order at restaurants or how to drive here or what to do there. So that's where Jose Abreu took him under his wing and said, son, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have you next to me in spring training along with Lewis Robert on the other side, and I'm going to teach you what it is to be a Major League Baseball player. I'm going to teach you what it is to learn the culture, to know where to go, when to go, and it's very important. And that's one of the things that Jose is really coming of age with, and that's as a mentor to the young kids. Veterans always are mentors to young kids. James Shields has had a lot of success, and yes, the last couple of years hadn't been what he wanted them to be, but his real value, as well as throwing the baseball, is that there's nothing these young pitchers can see that James hasn't seen. Whether it's postseason, he's won a World Series game. Whether it's during the season, he's been the top guy on staffs. He's got eight, count them, opening day starts. These guys are praying for one. And James is able to tell them exactly what they should do in certain situations. And along with Don Cooper, it's invaluable. But when one of your teammates, as opposed to one of your coaches, says, hey, why don't you try this? I think there's a better way for that changeup. Shields has had one of the great changeups in all of baseball. It's still very good. So he's willing and ready to impart that to all the young kids, a tremendous value to the Sox. You mentioned the clubhouse. The clubhouse, I won't tell you it's the greatest chemistry I've ever seen, strictly because that clubhouse hasn't won anything. I've seen great chemistry on winning baseball teams that had good chemistry before they won, then they become great. This team has wonderful chemistry, a great blend of youth and a great blend of veterans. The clubhouse is terrific. They really genuinely like one another. But, you know, talking about great chemistry on a last-place team doesn't mean very much. Talking about bad chemistry on a World Series winning team doesn't mean very much. But if you're trying to build an extraordinary organization that is competitive down through the years, you start with chemistry, you go to foundation, that's where Ricky Renteria comes in, the coaching staff and everybody else on the same page, the manager accepts nothing less than 27 hard played outs. Ricky's that guy, this is that team, look for a ring in 3 years.
Woo, that's what I like the way that sounds.
This is what Kevin Powell just said, World Series 2020. That's what Kevin Powell said that as we were getting it. This is going to be an interesting year. Development year. Uh-huh. Next year is going to be a highly competitive year, and then I like the 3-year plan because they clearly have the talent in place to develop over these next 3 years. All right, what's the one name that is not on the lips of baseball fans in Chicago that you think by June or July is going to be on the lips? Who's your sleeper this year?
Who we watch?
Well, I tell you what, and I think, this is a critical year for Nicky Delmonico. He showed something last year, showed enough to be brought back, showed enough to most likely start in left field, and then it's up to him now. He's going to get the opportunity. And the one question will be, I have no doubt he can hit right-handers. I mean, he's got big power. He's really figured it out. He's been around for a while, but he made that big leap from last spring training when nobody knew his name, although it is a great name for a baseball player, a good name for a steak also. So I think that he made that leap from last year to this. If he improves any more, what he's going to have to show is he can consistently hit left-handers. If he does that, then the job is his. If he has some trouble with left-handers, remember the name Cordell. A young man who came over, showed a lot this spring. I feel, and if Nicky's got the job, if he hits left-handers, he's got the job. But there is a platoon system possibly in left field, and it's all going to depend on Nicky. If he struggles against left-handers, I can see Delmonico and Cordell maybe being platoon players in left field.
Interesting. All right. Well, we look forward to the start of the season. I'm sure you do, too. You know, it's got to be one of those things where, especially in this last week, as these guys are getting ready and people have been around the game, you know, for as long as you know, you have and the other people around the organization probably get to this point where it's like, all right, let's just get this thing started. And it all starts Thursday.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And thanks for calling me old. And I'll tell you something. What I really feel is that I am so excited for this to start. I feel like the French when Lindbergh landed. So that's as excited as I can get.
Let me ask you, Steve, because
let's get it on.
I was just going to say, I was a little kid when that happened. So tell me, what was it like as an adult when Lindbergh landed in France? What was that like?
I'm going to tell you something. The cheering was phenomenal. The croissants were flying everywhere. It was just such a wonderful experience. You know, so anyway, that's the deal. And yes, you're right. I was there.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. All right, we'll see you next.
Have a
we'll
good
see
show.
You. Thank you. Goodbye. There he goes. Take Steve care. Stone, bye. Your bye. Chicago White Sox broadcaster. All right. Coming up in the program, I'm going to play the one thing that I have a question about from last night's interview with Stormy Daniels.
Only one
There's only
question?
One thing I have a question about.
Can't wait to hear it.
And I would like to ask the ladies on the program their thoughts.
If it's something is like a turn-on, is that what you're is that which way you're going with that? Like one of the things he did? Are we going to answer under oath?
I just want to get your answer.
Okay.
Just stay tuned for it. It's coming away at 5:40.
Right.
It's a simple question.
Okay.
There was something that was said last night that I didn't fully understand, and I thought, well, this doesn't make any... As a guy, it didn't make any sense.
Wasn't computing.
Right.
No.
It's not the part where she spanked him with a magazine with
okay.
his face on it. You see, there was just a poll. CNN just did a poll. 63% of Americans believe the accusers. 21% believe Trump in this. But... About 90% don't care is the issue. It doesn't really affect how they feel about his ability to be a president. He's doing that just fine by being on Twitter.
I think it's all just baked in the cake of who you expect him to be.
That right.
Consensual relationships, or mistresses and affairs and porn stars. Porn stars surprise me a little bit, but the whole taken in totality, I think maybe none of it really does surprise you.
I feel as though a lot of what's happening here is, which is why his poll numbers are going up, a lot of what is happening here is designed as a, and you know, I am no defender of this president. I think he's dangerous for our future in the long, you know, the long run of America, because to me his greatest his legacy is going to be lying through your teeth day in and day out about things and distorting what our expectations are of truth coming from Washington. Even though people are cynical about it, it's never been at this level. And I think that that's going to have a really bad ripping effect on the culture. So that's my problem. I've said that, but right
now... You still have a question.
I still have a question. And right now, I think that this is a war. This is basically a psychops operation to get him unhappy at home, to get Melania ticked off at him. And quite honestly, I think Melania's not getting paid to be ticked off at him. I think that's just the way that's going right there.
I'm just personally nervous that I might actually side with Stormy Daniels on something.
Oh, interesting. Well, see, this may be the same question that I have to ask.
Okay.
I'm fascinated because I would like to know what it is that... Because something happened in that exchange that I thought, now, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. We'll find out. Although I got to start thinking about the magazine cover bit. I think that's a good one. Maybe that
Please
does
stop
work.
Bringing that up, because it brings an image into everybody's head that I don't, we don't need.
Keep it in my back pocket when I go to the bar now with my face on it.
Have you seen my new magazine with me on the cover?
Check it out. I got my face on a magazine.
You don't think Oprah does that with her magazine, do you?
Maybe with a slice of bread or like the big French rolls.
Yeah. It's a good play, though, in this Photoshop world. It's pretty easy
Bad
to do.
Oprah. Bad
pretty
Oprah.
Easy to do.
Don't eat the bread. Spank me with it.
I'm going to spank you with it. Oh, bad billionaire. Bad billionaire invited me to the room and trying to give me a job on The Apprentice, but you're never going to give me. Bad billionaire.
Yuck. Make it stop.
I know. You know what? Is Anderson Cooper ever going to learn that this is, you know, this is not really what... It's salacious. It's interesting. These people are pretty bad. I'm going to tell you something. Uh-huh. I can't tell you how many guys I talked to over the weekend are like, did you see that one that was from the Playboy? Oh, my God.
Karen McDougal.
Yeah, if you could get her. I mean, come on. Because they had like a year-long romance or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Judy Pollack's News in 2 minutes. Conjo with Anna DeBlantis live from the United Center before the Hawks take on your San Jose Sharks.
Yes.
Brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. All right. Now, yes, it's going to be, it was not exactly a season that
we want to brag about.
To remember.
No, and not the position you want him to be in at this point.
And we'll be talking to, in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to John Weideman, of course, the great radio voice of Chicago Blackhawks hockey, one of the best in the business, maybe the best in radio in the business. I think that's safe to say. You know, you got your John, you got your Doc. These are your two. Mm-hmm. These are your two in your hockey that are the very cream of the crop. And then you got Scott King joining us, who is the Blackhawks correspondent for WGN, host of Blackhawks Crazy. And you got to be driven crazy this year by this. I think did you see they announced, just for people who are driving to the game, Jonathan Toews will be out tonight and sort of indefinitely for the rest of the season, right? They're not sure if he's coming back. Is that right?
I don't know about the entire season, but tonight.
Well, the entire season's a week away.
So. Right. Yeah, just 3 home games left and 6 total. So it's been a, as you guys said, sort of a season to forget. But there is still some reason to watch. One of the top prospects, Dylan Sakura, is going to play Thursday. He's up for College Player of the Year, so he's a guy that could be a piece for the future. Victor Edgecell will play tonight. He's a guy they traded for last month. So, you know, there's still there's reason to watch still. Reason
I like
to listen.
You say, you know.
Yeah.
Why is Toews out?
Upper
body.
Upper body.
Oh. Very specific, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's about as specific as they get.
That's how it is.
That's how they
hockey.
Do.
Right.
Could
so we
be,
get to know.
Upper body could be a cold. It could be a concussion. It could be a broken...
Or a hangover.
Right. Or I just don't feel like it today.
Yeah.
I think there have been a few guys in the history of the game who've had that, upper body.
Yeah, there's no reason to rush him back. I mean...
No. No. I'm wondering if we have seen the last of Jonathan Toews in a Blackhawks hockey sweater.
Gee.
I just still can't see it. Toews and Kane, I just can't see them moving on from Toews.
I can see
it. I know, but people have thrown that idea out there.
I know. You hear it. You hear the rumors. But they built this team around those two.
Exactly.
Yes.
When they were 19-year-olds.
Yes.
Not that long ago.
3 playoff victories in 3 years, though.
Gee.
That's
how about that?
Kind of a...
3 Stanley Cups, though. Carry a lot of weight.
They do. But we unfortunately live in the sporting world of what have you done for me lately.
Well, the thing for me is if you trade Toews, the value you get back, is it even worth it? Because there's a reason the Hawks would be trading him, because of diminished value, diminished talent. So are teams even going to pay? What would you get back in return? Would it even be worth it?
I think it's a multiple team trade, and it would undoubtedly involve Winnipeg, because that's where he wants to play. And he has to okay it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so he has no trade.
Right, so it's you know, one of those circumstances that will, you know, it would have to be the exact right circumstance to present itself. But I think everything's beyond the table. My point is, when, you know, a week from Sunday, and when this, you know, 2 weeks from yesterday, when the season is over, there's going to be that it's going to stop, and they're going to be, everybody's going to get in a room, and they're going to put everything on the table and see what they can. What they can come up with. And then they have to wait for the rest of the teams to be out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So, I mean, there's a lot going on here. Anyway, more on that a little bit later on. And then coming up also in this hour, I have the one question from the Stormy Daniels interview last night with Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
And the 60 Minutes. One thing I didn't understand.
One burning question.
One burning question, which was hopefully what neither of them had afterwards. All right. Are you ready for this? I hope you are.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. That's what we will do. We will get on with it right here. And I think the most important thing that we can do is pray for us during this top 5 at 5, because I looked ahead.
Uh-oh.
And it's really going to be a few things. Checking in at
number 5.
A surprise guest appeared at the March for Our Lives in Washington over the weekend to tell the crowd about a dream her grandfather had as a 9-year-old Yolanda Renee King, the eldest granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr., gave a speech about ending gun violence in America.
My grandfather had a dream that his 4 little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that enough is enough, and that this should be a gun-free world, period. Will you please repeat these words after me? Breathwork!
She's nine?
I can't even believe it. What a presence. And you think about the number of people in front of her. Wow. I'm going to hear a lot more from that little girl in the future. She's going to rule the world.
Yeah, I kind of think so. Wow. That is actually what is really amazing, especially these kids from Stoneman Douglas. Mm-hmm. It is amazing how together they are. Uh-huh. You know, how, I mean, obviously these are the kids who want to be out there and want to be and have the skills to be out there and tell the story.
Social activists.
It is, right. But they're social activists, you know, from two months ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a pretty amazing thing. You know, this happened on Valentine's Day.
Right, thrust into such horrible circumstances and then the ability to be able to talk about it. You want to excuse yourself, Rob?
Not at this moment, no. It is a crazy thing. It's amazing how skilled they are. But to me, people step up in these situations and, yes, don't believe what you read on the internet. Oh, my God. The one girl, Emma,
yeah,
right?
Emma, yes. The one who just stood silent for 6 minutes. Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
And the time that the gunman unleashed bullets into her friends and classmates and just powerfully stood there silent for that amount of time. It was pretty powerful.
The stuff on the internet about her today is unbelievable. There are all kinds of, you know, rumors about her ripping up the Constitution while she was up there. And it's just because it's on the internet, people could just say and do anything.
And to be clear, she was ripping up a target, a firearm target.
Right.
And then it was superimposed
the Constitution.
Yeah. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong? All right. Now, there were 800 rallies across the country, including one in New York. And who was there? Paul McCartney.
Just a sense of why it was important for you to come out here today. Just to support the people. Do you think that can happen at the legislative level? We've seen it happen at the state level in places like Florida and here in New York.
You know, I'm like everyone. I don't know. But this is what we can do. And so I'm here to do it. One of my best friends was killed in gun violence right around here. So it's important to me.
He's referring to John Lennon there.
Who was killed, gunned down 37 years ago, but in Manhattan, right around here.
Upper West Side.
Yeah.
The Dakota. Coming back, getting out of his car, coming back from a recording session.
Mm-hmm.
And, a crazy guy with a gun.
Yeah, but how about him showing up? Span the generations, that's for sure. From the 9-year-old to Paul McCartney.
I couldn't get to my Starbucks, so I decided to come. I'm coming out over here. He does seem a little more confused. He's always seemed a little daffy. I don't know. There's something about Sir Paul that was always, you know, it seemed to me that Linda kind of, was good like an in charge kind of wife. And then when.
Kept him straight.
Yeah, then when she passed away.
The other wife.
Got a little wild. Yeah, mm-hmm. Got a little wide, you know. I don't know where I am right now. All right. Checking in at.
Number four.
Right off the bat, in today's White House press briefing, Assistant Deputy Press Secretary, whatever he is, mm-hmm. They call him your principal press secretary? Raj Shah?
The one below Sarah Huckabee
Sanders. Yes. She's
the fill-in.
Right. The fill-in, Raj Shah, was up there. And Raj looks, he's got that look on his face, like, please don't hurt me. Please. No.
Be kind.
No, Jim Acosta, don't get crazy with me. I can't, you know what, they're watching what I'm doing out here.
He does look like he's feeling the pressure at all times, sort of a la Sean Spicer, and it is a tough job.
Now, I don't know if Sarah Sanders had, I have to plead ignorance here about whether or not this is known, what she was doing outside of being there, so, today, but it is interesting that she's not out there the day after the Stormy Daniels thing. Do you want to put her out there during the street, send a Raj Shah out there to be your punching bag? Because there were a lot of questions about the Stormy Daniels interview on the 60 Minutes. So AP's Zeke Miller got things started by asking why the American people should trust anything the White House says after the administration denied a shakeup was imminent, only to see a number of high-profile personnel moves.
Well, our job as a press office and as an administration is to give you the best information that we have available to us, most accurate information in a timely fashion. Sometimes the dynamics are fluid in any given situation. You mentioned some personnel matters. Facts and circumstances changed. We continue to give you guys the best information that we can as quickly as possible.
What did that mean?
I think it means we don't know. I think it means that they're not telling us. And I also think it means he's making this up as he's going along. I think that's. But Raj can't actually say that, which I think is its own problem. But then again, now here's Zeke, though. Zeke's like, okay, I asked a kind of somewhat legitimate question, so now I'm going to go with this.
Did you state categorically that the president, his campaign, and the Trump Organization did not violate federal law, specifically election law, regarding that payment?
Well, I can speak for only the White House, and I can say categorically that obviously White House didn't engage in any wrongdoing. The campaign or Mr. Cohen, the campaign or Mr. Cohen can address anything with respect to their actions. With respect to that interview, I will say the president strongly, clearly, and has consistently denied these underlying claims, and the only person who's been inconsistent is the one making the claims.
Well, kind of. Yeah, I mean, she has, because she said she didn't, you know, she's gone back and forth and said, yes, she did, no, she didn't, yes, she did, no, she didn't. But she's telling a story that she's told, and then this other one has a similar story. He's got to move. You know, every guy's got a different, you know, guys and girls, they both use their wiles sometimes to get what they want. And they both have moves. They have patterns. He's got to move. He likes this is Melania's bedroom. She likes to read a book. Let's keep moving. He's got that move.
The allusion to his daughter always seems a little creepy, if that's true. But that's
they both
a
said
theme,
it though.
A theme and, you've heard from both of them.
And they both and the thing interesting thing is that they both said it, and they're not really related. And one said it before. They couldn't have known that Karen McDougal couldn't have known that Stormy Daniels was going to say that.
You wouldn't think so. It doesn't seem like they talk necessarily. I mean, right. Karen McDougal supports the president, and I think Stormy is very much at odds with the president.
I liked it. I thought Karen McDougal did a really nice job supporting the president that she loves so much by getting on TV and talking about his affair with her. I know who is she trying to help in that situation?
Herself, I guess. I don't know.
All right. I guess. I don't know. I don't know either. But I do have a question coming up about one thing. Mm-hmm. One point in last night's interview
that you just didn't understand.
I do not understand, and I would like an answer to it.
The part about the Shark Week and made her watch an entire episode of it?
That's not it. Broadcast of the United Center before the Blackhawks take on San Jose. It's brought to you by Citgo. Citgo's feeling good. Isn't that the exact opposite of how you're supposed to sound at the United Center before a Hawks
right.
game?
Right. Supposed to be pumped up.
Yeah.
But the season didn't really leave that feeling at this point in time.
Nope, it hasn't. But we are here, and we're supporting our beloved Chicago Blackhawks.
Go
it
Hawks.
It will all be better next year. And I'm being told that we have a developing story concerning Stormy Daniels.
What's happening now?
Apparently the dress from that evening remains.
Just like the Monica Lewinsky dress?
Say yes to the dress.
Is that what they
mean?
Or say
no to the dress.
And that someone is in possession of it.
But nobody's denying. Oh, I guess he's denying, right?
He's so denying, yeah. He continues
to deny. Or is he ignoring?
I swear she didn't wear that dress.
It was blue, not green.
I swear it wasn't on her.
Oh, God. Ew. Oh, God. What if there's, like, orange makeup on it? Then we'll know for sure what it is. As opposed to...
Still smells like spray tan?
Yeah, it's got a...
You get a girl's makeup on your shoulder after you give her, like, a hug or something?
Yeah, except it's not girl's makeup. It's right. My own.
It's his skin.
Right. It's my tanning lotion.
It's his orange skin shedding off.
All right. Checking in at...
Number three.
There are pilots we remember as legends, but they didn't start out that way. They started out like us. This is our time to make a difference. Do you understand? Jaeger pilots, do you understand?
One way to find out.
Oh, good. That's Pacific Rim, but it won the box office.
Yeah.
It's the first time that a movie has knocked Black Panther off since Black Panther premiered 5 weeks ago. How about that?
Yeah, I've got to see both of them. I haven't seen either one, and I don't think Richard Roper loved this one.
No, he said two stars?
Two stars,
yeah.
It did looks not a lot like it. Transformers when you see the trailer. And then,
but maybe not
maybe
as
that's
good.
That's where it's going to stop for me.
Yeah.
I'll go see Black Panther.
No, Black Panther's Black Panther is a movie. It's one of those movies that people will talk about for years and years and years, and it will be... It, like Indiana Jones, a movie like that when it's on 30 years from now, people will be watching
it'll hold
it.
Hold its own.
Yeah.
And it's potentially spawn sequels.
Oh.
We expect that.
It's already kind of, it's already in the works. All right, checking in at
number two.
When Stormy gave her 60 Minutes interview last night, there were almost certainly a lot of people who tuned in just hoping to hear some scandalous, juicy details. And that appears to be the case based on the ratings.
Oh, yeah. The highest ratings for 60 Minutes in 10 years since the Obamas appeared shortly after the election.
I love ratings. I make ratings even if I'm not on. Now, the attorney, who I don't think is really doing himself a ton of favors here. He's, the more he spends, the more time he spends on TV, the less people like him, I think.
Well, he comes off smarmy as all get out, right? But, this is the business they're in.
You know how but he's been very good at dropping a little hint every week for these last 2 weeks since she recorded the interview before it actually aired.
Mm-hmm.
And so, does he have anything post-interview to drop that would keep our attention?
Is there anything left out of her interview, something on the cutting room floor, that you feel is relevant and could share now?
Not that I'm prepared to share now, but what I will say is that she was prepared to discuss intimate details relating to Mr. Trump. She can describe his genitalia. She can describe various conversations that they had that leave no doubt as to whether this woman is telling the truth. And if she's not telling the truth, let the president take to the podium and call her a liar. Let the president come forward and say it never happened. There is a reason why this $130,000 was paid, and it wasn't paid because she made the story up. It's absurd.
It was paid to keep her quiet, which apparently didn't work.
How'd that work out? And what about the million-dollar fine every time she speaks about things? Is that...
Well, Avenatti has now filed suit on behalf of Stormy Daniels against Michael Cohen today for
the non-disclosure?
No, saying that Michael Cohen has defamed his client by calling her a liar.
But isn't he kind of saying they're defaming him by implying that he had something to do with the threats on her and her daughter, too? I mean, he pushed back pretty strongly.
Yeah, but they didn't say it was him.
But wasn't it insinuated as part of the thing that what she was saying there, that it was someone directly connected to Trump and this process of trying to shut me up? It seems like you got that impression for sure, that it wasn't just a random Trump
supporter.
Excuse
me, an impression is not an act of legal standing in this particular courtroom, madam.
True. Absolutely
true.
That's
in Cook County, that's how we would handle that. Mm-hmm. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Sister Jean has revealed her favorite thing about watching Loyola in this year's NCAA tournament, and especially their beatdown of Kansas State.
Didn't they dominate?
It wasn't even close.
Nope.
Oh.
16-point victory after combining to win three games by a total of 4 points in the first three.
Anybody who doubted they belonged there, though, they just looked good.
Sister Jean?
I just kept thinking of the good that each one did and how happy he was and how each young man is himself out there. And they just work so well together. Be careful, San Antonio. The Ramblers are on their way. And I hope we continue, but we always do one game at a time.
I like her with her cap on backwards, too. Did you see that? She looks so cute. Yeah.
She makes me just feel calm every time she talks.
And it sounds like she's got a date plan with Charles Barkley. Did you guys see that? Charles Barkley said, if they win the Elite Eight game, I'm going to take her for a walk on the along the famed downtown river in San Antonio. So
yeah.
Look out for that.
Some say the Pope should pay attention to her, too, because she's already performed two miracles.
That's
maybe,
right.
Maybe sainthood is in her future.
Yeah, they win the whole thing. That's three. That's good. You're right? You need three miracles, and then you're secured.
At least two. So she's, the Pope is taking notes.
Even the cardinal was kind of interested in. You know, the cardinal's got an issue here, right? Because there's too many Catholic educational institutions in Chicago, and you got two major ones that are fairly fierce competitors. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't really want to kind of take too much of a position on this.
Politics, even there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I equate the tournament to like the Olympics, where you don't know a whole lot about the teams or the players or the coaches, but then these storylines evolve. And this year, the storyline is Sister Jean and Loyola. Pretty cool.
God, it's great.
Yes, it is.
I mean that literally.
God is great.
Yes, that is great. Hold on. There we go. That's what I was trying to do.
Nicely done.
All right. Let's do this. Let's close up the top five, shall we?
The Top 5 at 5.
Everyone needs to make smart financial decisions. Townstone Financial might be able to help you. Townstone founder Barry Sterner always says Townstone cares about you more than any other mortgage company. In fact, Townstone talked more people out of completing a reverse mortgage in 2017 than it closed. If you've been thinking that a reverse mortgage could benefit your situation, call Townstone today at 312-896-2110. They'll walk you through the entire reverse mortgage process until you feel comfortable with the product. If you've spoken to another company about a reverse mortgage, give Townstone a call so you'll have a second opinion. The experts at Townstone will let you know if you think a reverse mortgage is the right product for you or your family member. Nobody values your home mortgage business more than Townstone. Barry guarantees it, and he owns the company. Call Barry Sterner today, 312-896-2110, or go to townstone.com. That's T-O-W-N-S-T-O-N-E.com. Townstone Financial is in Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Illinois Mortgage Licensee 6629 and MLS 136639, Equal Housing Lender.
Oh, yeah.
Little Barry White beats Shark Week. When it comes
all right,
to
I got a couple things. All right.
Ooh, and the ladies.
All day long. I wanted to ask this question to the ladies on the program here.
Oh, gee.
But about the thing that I saw in the 60 Minutes last night. There's one thing from this interview. One thing from this interview.
Just one.
That I do not understand. But hold on one second. Do we have this other piece of audio right now?
But there's first, the Alana Evans.
There's something that we do need to share with you before we get to this. Alana Evans, who apparently also is an adult film actress. Because we can't say porn star anymore. Because apparently that is.
How many stars do you think there are out
well,
there?
Well, humiliating to real stars. I think that's the problem.
Like Kim Kardashian.
Right, like real stars are like upset at me. They're not stars. I mean, shut up, everybody. Anyway, the point is. So here's this Alana Evans who claims that she has a dress.
Right.
The dress. That 11 years ago that this woman
Stormy
was wearing.
Stormy wore that night when she was allegedly with the president. That she kept the dress.
I find this very hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
Do you know, are you aware that she has any such evidence? Has she spoken to you about it or shown you anything along those lines?
I am unaware about text messages or pictures or any type of evidence she might have that would fit on a disc. All I know is that Stormy still has the dress that she wore from that night.
Mm-hmm. And she kept that for what reason?
Maybe a keepsake. Maybe it's because it's actual proof. I can only speculate the things that may be on that dress, especially if it's never been washed.
Oh.
She sounds exactly how I thought she was going to sound. There's like a dress. Like she has it.
12 years ago.
And who knows what's on it. Things got crazy.
Yeah, I'm important too, but ew.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, this show coming to you live from the United Center, brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. They must be proud.
Yes.
All right, so here's the...
Great transition.
Here is the... let me play this. This is the part I didn't understand from the interview last night. Okay, so Stormy goes to the hotel room to discuss being on The Apprentice, right?
That's what she thought it was. She said she thought it was a business meeting.
Yeah, okay, it's a business
meeting.
That's
right, in a hotel room.
Because you're an adult film actress.
Well, it was still business for her, even if it was coming there for that.
It's always business, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Maybe if I get a little video of this, think how much that's going to go. But again, you got to remember Donald Trump is now a descending television star, right? Because by the third or fourth season into the Apprentice, it started to fall apart. They had good advertising support, and it was just one of those things NBC kept on, the schedule, but it was not number one anymore. It was serviceable.
It did well enough to stay on the air. Yeah. It was fun to watch for the most part.
But I just didn't understand. Here we go.
So I excused myself and I went to the restroom. You know, I was in there for a little bit and came out, and he was sitting, on the edge of the bed when I walked out, perched.
And when you saw that, what went through your mind?
I realized exactly what I'd gotten myself into. And I was like, oh, here we go. And I just felt like maybe It was sort of, I had it coming for making a bad decision for going to someone's room alone. And I just heard the voice and I, well, you put yourself in a bad situation and bad things happen. So you deserve this.
And what? You had sex with him?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, I see
okay.
what you're going
I,
at there.
I have a couple of questions here. First yeah. of all, now you have to remember the earlier scene that we learned about mm-hmm. where he pulls out a magazine with his picture on it and then she rolls it up and tells him to drop trow and spanks him on the butt. Right? Mm-hmm.
That had already okay. happened at this point? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that had Looking already happened. That happened events. In the living room area of the hotel suite.
And yeah, why wouldn't it?
She's in the bedroom area, and she comes out, and he's already, you know, kind of nakel on the bed, perched on the bed.
I don't even know what that
what
means.
What does that mean? Like, was he, like, in, like yeah.
Like, ready like, ready for another spank? I don't even know.
On all fours just, yeah. in the bed.
Right. Like, he's ready to spring off the bed? Like,
insert porn star here. Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's like sitting on the edge of the bed, because that's not a good look, you know. I mean, I don't know.
He was definitely trying to look skinnier. In some way, he was
perched.
Yeah,
but if you're sitting on the edge of the bed, that's horrible. You're going to have a little gut no matter how
you gotta skinny
you are.
You got to just stand there at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah, just like
both hands on the hips.
Looking out the window, like intently looking at something. Well, it's nice landscaping around here.
Oh, I'm not wearing clothes?
But that's not your question, though, Ro. I mean, don't you have a question here?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much, Anna.
I mean, what's
I'd
the question?
Let the kids run away with it for a second. Which is, okay, how does she not know that this is going to, that this is developing here? And then how does she then say, oh, well, I guess I got to do this, and feel bad for herself when she's just, oh, got to do this?
Yeah, why don't she just leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely. She has the right to leave and say no and walk out at that moment.
And right, and he's not going to stop
say,
her.
I deserve this.
She had the conscious thought to even, like, you know, consume everything that was happening in that moment, and she's still...
Yeah, but I think that plenty of girls out there have done that, where they're like, all right, I'm here. I kind of...
Might as well.
Might as well follow through.
But, my Uber's not going to be here for 21 minutes.
Yeah, might as well.
And
bed
I mean,
looks comfortable.
Maybe she thought it was going to take longer. Like, maybe she thought it was going to take 3 dates before this happened. But then, you know, when you come out of the bathroom and someone's perched at that point... I mean, she still wants to get the job on The Apprentice. She's the one who spanked him earlier in the living room.
True.
She said, I had this coming. I got to follow through now.
When he
yeah,
was perched, that was
that.
That was the clincher for Trump. Well, he was perched.
He was clinching while he was perched.
I don't understand that at all.
Okay, so you don't understand.
Because
right?
She said she put herself in a bad situation. I guess I deserve that. This.
But if she thought that the morning after, that's like she knew in the middle of that whole
scenario. Yeah, but you know, even when you go the next morning, you knew the night before was a bad idea, but you didn't think about it until then the morning after. And you're like, oh, now what? Now I got to leave. You know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
My phone's dead. I can't order an Uber. Can I borrow his phone?
Yeah, I forgot to charge my phone.
In her defense also, she said...
In her defense?
She said in that interview also, I am not a victim. She's not saying she is.
She said it's consensual and she was...
She regretted it before she even did it. And that's sad. But...
That she had to go forward with it. She felt like she had to go forward with it.
Okay, hold on a
second. The weird part.
Here you go, hold on.
Were you physically attracted to him?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Did you want to have sex with him?
No. But I didn't say no. I'm not a victim. I'm not...
It was entirely consensual.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You work in an industry where condom use is an issue. Did he use a condom?
No.
Did you ask him to?
No. I honestly didn't say anything.
I meant fumbling with those things.
My hands are too big. I can't figure out how to put this on.
I don't remember. Is it going on backwards or forwards? I don't know. I can never tell. Listen... this is a, this is the testimony of a sex worker.
Yeah, she's done a lot that she regretted before she did it. And she's done a lot where she's like, well, I'm already here and this is the path I chose.
She's not even attracted to him.
A lot of girls aren't attracted to people. This is not the first time that someone has had an intercourse they weren't attracted.
Right, don't get so angry about that.
Right. Listen, not that she didn't want him to be a stud.
No, I'm just saying, like, that factored into the whole thing, like, to Ro's point, that she's probably experienced, like, ah, wow, this guy looks like a big bag of crap, but whatever. I'll go through
easy,
with it.
Easy, easy, Kev. I'm sitting right here. I think there's a 3.5 billion reasons why she stayed in that room, and
all of them had money signs in front of it,
and the apprentice opportunity, and all
that must have been it, because she didn't take money, and I thought she was offered money.
No, the other one.
Oh, the McDougal was offered the money.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
Yeah, you got. Listen,
it's so hard.
You
got to
get your
track.
Lovers straight here.
It's very
McDougal,
hard.
He and McDougal had a long-standing, you know, not long, but like a year-long relationship. And actually, McDougal was on that trip to Tahoe where all of this took place.
So there was some overlap there.
Right, and she's like, when did that happen? While I was there, he was just out golfing. And I'm like, Sneaky. Oh.
That's what he said.
That's right, he was out golfing.
You were golfing.
Oh, I guess I left early. Oh, I don't know what happened.
You know how these rounds can go, anywhere from 4 to 10 hours. I was playing the round of my life. Kind of rushed through it.
You might believe that if you don't play golf. All this and his approval ratings are
going up,
soaring.
They're going up through this because I think people see this as, you know, this is like an attempt to go get him. And so people are like, okay, people are going to become Team Trump because they're opposed to these two.
Well, maybe this is what brings them closer to the people, the everyday man, someone that doesn't, you don't want to have sex with, you do anyway, you can go through with it.
Maybe I got a shot.
Yeah. You
know? She wasn't attracted to him. The last 10 girls I hit on weren't attracted to me. Maybe the 11th one will hit.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's God. Definitely more relatable now.
Okay. All right. Well, you answered my question. That was sort of. All right. Judy, what's happening in the WGN newsroom at the top of the hour?
Well, be careful with those bro hugs. We'll explain.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Am I going to get in trouble for that?
What now?
I don't touch the people we take pictures with anymore.
No.
I don't even look at them in the eyes.
He literally puts his hands like on his own forearms. He's like, don't touch.
It's like he's in a straitjacket all of a sudden.
Right.
But the pictures look really weird, but you don't get in trouble.
Right. I will not touch the guests now on the program.
You probably shouldn't have touched them before.
Well, you know, but you know, would you put your arm around somebody and take a picture?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be the next radio guy to go down.
Right. I was never, you know, I was always very careful about that. But, you know, now I put my hands up like I'm being arrested.
Perfect. That works. You're not going to get in trouble when you do that.
I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind this, but I'm just putting my hands up.
Yeah.
And I've had the call letters actually tattooed to my palms. So I'm a walking billboard for it. It's promotional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ro Contra with Anna DeBlantis on my left. 3 to 7 p.m. WGN.
Hands free from 3 to 7.
Yeah.
Why is he standing WGN like that in all his pictures? It's very odd.
All right. Violetta.
Yes, right now we have some traffic trouble spots that are sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Inbound side of the Kennedy already an hour 5 from O'Hare to downtown. Outbound side much better at 25 minutes. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. And if you want personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Violetta Podramatic, WGN Traffic.
Here come the Hawks, the Mighty Hawks. And we are live from the United Center before the Hawks take on the San Jose Sharks. Brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good. And John Weideman joins us. He is the voice of Chicago Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN. And, all right, John, this... We were just talking a little bit before you came on. You know, the season ends next Saturday night, and the season ends next Saturday night. A certain end, and it's the first time in a decade that we have experienced this as Hawks fans. And
we don't like the feeling.
No, I don't like the feeling. And it must be for you especially. You know, this is the exciting time of the year for hockey fans.
Yeah, we're all unaccustomed to this. I mean, we've become accustomed to at this time of the year talking about who are we going to play in that first round of the playoffs, you know, and getting excited about that. But it just wasn't to be this year. I think there were a lot of factors that conspired against the Blackhawks in this season. I could get into them, but we'd need a whole new show. And so I'll just say that this ending to this season, as hard as it might be for people to believe or maybe even in the notion to embrace, this could be a blessing in disguise. The Blackhawks will get a better draft pick. They've got they've got their first-round draft pick, and they've got Nashville's first-round draft pick.
Right, so they get two.
Right, and so their draft position is going to be better. And it's possible Stan Bowman could parlay that into an even better situation. So keep hope.
I want to be careful how I ask this question because I know it's a sensitive subject around here, and we've got one more live show here before the season's over.
Okay.
But do you think that there will be blockbuster moves in the offseason here?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, at an all-staff meeting back in February, John McDonough, president and CEO of the Blackhawks, spoke to us, and he said, you know, we're not happy with where we are, but we have a lot of confidence in the people that are in the positions that they're in to, you know, get us out of this situation. I don't think anybody could have predicted that the Blackhawks would be right here where we are at this time in this season. Coming off of a 109-point season last year at 50 wins, I think everybody's thinking, well, you know what, we'll fix a few things, we'll get right back in next year, no problem. Well, it just didn't happen. But I could see a few moves. I don't know what they would be, but I don't think you're going to see anything like a house cleaning.
You know So
you think largely this roster could bring us to the playoffs next year with very few moves?
I don't know about this exact same roster, but I think with a couple of tweaks here and there, I think that they could get right back in it, for sure.
Sakura, are we excited about him?
I am. Yeah. I'm excited about Dylan Sakura. Played at Northeastern, tremendous player, great passer, great playmaker. He's a stud. I think the Blackhawk fans are really going to like him. He's going to wear number 95, left-handed shot, 6'2", I think 205, Canadian boy. I'm also excited about the guy that's going to make his debut tonight.
Yeah.
His name is Victor, and let's get the pronunciation right.
Boy. People. These are always hard.
You've got to practice this 100 times at home, don't you?
Help us.
Yeah. Victor Aidsell, not Edsel, like
Aidsell.
Aidsell.
Oh, okay. Kevin.
And I butchered it.
It's okay, because you know what? Most people would.
Isn't
you
there
look
a
at
J
that,
in there, too, somewhere?
There is a J, but in the
Swedish. Silent J.
He's a Swede, so, you know, there's random J's out there.
Actually, I saw some video on him, and heard the play-by-play from the Swedish play-by-play people, and they were saying Aidsell. So there was emphasis Aidsell. On the
wow.
second syllable of his name. But I'm going to be saying Aidsell until he says to me, that's not right.
Good to know.
Right.
We're going with that.
Yeah. For Stan and Bowman, go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say, on Victor Aidsell, he's going to wear number 14, big kid, 6'5", 215, left-hand shot, very smooth skater. He's got outstanding hands and great vision of the ice. In my show with Joel Quenneville, I told Joel that I felt like he reminded me of Hockey Hall of Famer Jean Béliveau. So if you see any footage of Jean Béliveau, compare the two, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. He's not played 1 second in the NHL, so maybe I'm way premature on that, but I'm hoping for the best.
For Stan Bowman, what should be atop his to-do list going into the offseason? Another defenseman, center, where do you think they need to prioritize this
Kevin,
offseason?
You know what? Far be it for me to play general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks. That's Stan's job. If I were trying to give him advice, I would probably say, Stan, we're probably looking at all the positions to make them stronger, maybe even starting from the goal out. And that's not to throw any stones at anybody. That's not my intent with that statement. But, you know, knowing that all the other teams in the Central Division are getting better and the Western Conference, the team is going to have to be better. And so possibly they need to take a look from the goal out and entertain the notion of improving every single position.
You know, you bring up the point, I think, that a lot of people, you know, we miss as fans, but that it's an important one, which is, you know, they're not playing against themselves here.
Right.
They're playing against all these other teams, and you've seen a franchise like Nashville become an elite, you know, and they were always in it. With, I mean, you know, you're going back to 2010. It's one of the great playoff series, I think, in this run with the Blackhawks was the Nashville series. I mean, it's a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been developing, but now they are in the elite. That's a real team. And you've got, you know, the West Coast has always been very, very tough. You know, other than, you know, Phoenix or Arizona or whatever, whoever, you know, whatever, and who knows if they'll even be around. You got the, you know, it's hard, I think, in the NHL, and you've seen this in the East as well. Dynasties are designed to be attacked using the salary cap and all the other market forces that are at play here.
And all these teams have used the Hawks formula for the past decade. So, you know, they've been the ones watching. The Hawks have been the one leading the way.
Now, I believe it. You mentioned the salary cap role. I'm right there with you. I almost feel like the salary cap was brought in so that teams couldn't be a huge dynasty. And I think Stan Bowman, we were talking about him a while ago, I think he deserves a ton of credit for the fact that the team has won 3 Stanley Cups under his reign, all during the salary cap era. So you have that to go.
Right. I mean, you know, I think you got to look at the two. God, I hate to say it now, but I have to say it. I got to give props. You know, Pittsburgh and the Hawks are the two, you know, great franchise organizations, as we like to say in hockey, in this era. And, you know, this, I just give me something. Give me something, John. Let's go to church here for just a moment.
Okay.
Give me a little something to hang my hat on to be hopeful about the fall.
Okay, bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah.
My last confession was 3 years ago. And you mean looking forward, looking ahead, what do Blackhawk fans have to hang their hat on?
Yeah, because you were saying, you know, there's a little bit of a blessing in disguise. Obviously, you're talking about the draft there.
Yeah.
But are there other factors here that you think that are important?
I mentioned the draft. I will also mention the possibility, and I think probability, this far out, here we are in March, who's to say July 1st that I'm going to be right? I may look like the biggest buffoon in the history of mankind.
I do that all the time. Don't worry about it.
But I believe that it's very possible and maybe even probable that the Blackhawks could be a player in free agency. The salary cap is going up to $82 million. They were trying to get it between 78 and 82, and I think 82 was where they ended up at the general manager's meetings. What that does is that adds money to the pile that the Blackhawks can spend, and they've had no issue spending to the cap. So knowing that, and knowing that there are going to be some players that are not going to be back next season, so you erase that salary and you add that to the pile of money that they'll have to work with, I really, truly believe the Blackhawks could be a legitimate player for some of the best players that are out there that are unrestricted free agents and be wearing a Blackhawks sweater to start next year.
That is exciting.
I have
a few
names on the list, but like you, I don't want to get in the way of Stan. I'm afraid of Stan Bowman. Let me be honest with you.
You know what?
Stan's
a wonderful guy. He really is. And he's a brilliant guy, in my opinion.
Yes.
He's had some tough situations to deal with, but I think, you know, by and large, he's done a very good job of it.
Well, here's what I'll say about Stan. And I've, you know, had the great pleasure of getting to know him over the last number of years pretty well. And he's a, you know, he's a lovely guy, soft-spoken.
Sure.
But I think in an alley fight, he'd kill a guy and maybe rip his arm off.
He's
got an intensity to him, I wouldn't want to be. I think this is going to be, you know, an interesting moment. This is such a great, you know, sports tradition in Chicago for, you know, a century almost. But it's also, you know, this moment, and you still see as the fans are filling in here, and this kind of the, you know, the shirt tail of the season, it is, you know, people are still, they're wearing their sweaters, they're happy about this.
As engaged as ever.
They want to go see, you know, this, you know, they want to go see the flash of hockey live and all that. And it's, you know, I know it will be back, and I think with Stan especially, the praise you gave him is 100% right. I don't think you can go far enough in terms of what he's been able to do given these circumstances. One of the interesting things, though, in salary caps in hockey is that it's pegged to the Canadian dollar.
Right.
And it is, and this is an issue because
they have to definitely be sensitive to the Canadian-based organizations. Absolutely.
Right, for sure. And being pegged to the Canadian dollar, things can move between and July.
Is it strong right now, the Canadian dollar? Do we know?
It's better than it was, but if it gets stronger, that becomes an interesting
issue
for the other North American teams. Let's put it that way. And and Canada too. Listen, who do you like in the playoffs right now?
My Stanley Cup final is going to be the Nashville Predators against the Boston Bruins.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Not the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
See, everybody has been saying, oh, Tampa Bay, they're going right to the final. Tampa Bay is a strong team, but look what the Boston Bruins have been doing. And the fact that that's a tested team. That's a team full of veteran players. They've got depth in goaltending. They've got depth at the defense position, which is enormous in the playoffs. And they've got great veteran leadership. And Brad Marchand, as much as you may not like him, is having the year of his life. On top of that, they've got one of the best face-off guys, a multiple Frank Selke Trophy winner in Patrice Bergeron. I think in a 7-game series, I think Boston prevails. And it's going to be Boston and Nashville.
First.
That's who I believe.
All right. As much as I want to hate Nashville.
Right.
I gotta say that I'm sort of, because they've become such a critical rival for us, I still can't get over the loss of Detroit. I still can't get over, you know, the fact that we don't have that to hang on. Or the Blues, that rivalry has faded a little bit in the last three seasons, obviously. But that Nashville rivalry is so great. And they have built, they have done such a nice job down there.
They really have.
I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the Hawks to have a new target and to say, you know, this is going to be, and it's also too much fun to go down there for a game, right? Isn't that a great place to go be? And so, I'm, I hate to say it, but it's like saying I want Green Bay to win the Super Bowl, but I'm just going to say it right now. I like Nashville in this playoffs.
Don't say it.
I love the way they're skating right now. So, you know, John, thank you so much for being with us. What another great season.
You're welcome, Earl. Thank you for having me.
Nice
in the broadcast booth. And the best, you know, the best that lives in radio hockey right here, John Weideman. Thank you so much.
One last thing I'd like to say, Earl, if I can, before I leave. We have the good fortune, Troy Murray and I, and now Chris Bowden, and all of you, doing our work in front of the greatest fans in hockey. And I say that every single night after I sign off from a home game, and I say it with conviction. I mean it. They're the best in the world. Best in the game.
Yeah. Oh, and we should also mention, too, I think we should point out that if people haven't heard the news, because this broke late on Friday night over the weekend, is our dear friend and colleague, Eddie Olczyk, is cancer-free.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hadn't heard that.
And
best news of the year.
Yeah, by far. I mean, if there were any other, you know, I mean, I would, you know, you'd trade anything for that news.
Yeah.
What an inspiration he is, too.
And he is an inspiration to people, to, you know, cancer survivors and to, you know, others. So congratulations and, you know, our heartfelt warm wishes to he and his family who endured so much this year.
Great.
Here, here.
All right. Right now, Judy is going to tell us what's coming up in the bottom of the hour news. Oh, this is it my turn now? Okay. Hey, did you know that you can stop a foreclosure and save your home even if you haven't made a mortgage payment in more than 6 months, and that you have options when you're faced with heavy credit card debt, medical bills, or evictions? Let Kaplan Law help you get a fresh start and determine your best plan. Visit financialrelief.com or 312-294-8989. Kaplan Law Firm, helping Chicagoans for over 15 years. Kaplan Law Firm is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under U.S. Bankruptcy Code.
Then there's this early morning. Stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast. Sarah Gingras, traffic weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
All righty, my friends.
I got to get me a Sister Jean bobblehead, I've decided. They're $25, so I'm going to get one. All 50 states now, they found a purchaser, and they're selling like hotcakes. The Sister Jean bobblehead, row.
How many are there?
I don't know. I don't know if they've limited the supply, really, at this point.
I think when you order the bobbleheads, you got to be efficient about that. And judicious.
Yeah.
Do you order 50,000 bobbleheads for sale? Do you order 5,000, 500? What do you order?
I think less than now. But
what's the minimum bobblehead order that you can make?
It's $25 plus $8 shipping and handling. They say 63% of the orders came from outside Illinois, and within the first 24 hours, they hit all 50 states.
Yeah, but when do you get it?
I don't know. When do you?
June,
when is it delivered?
Right? Isn't it like,
oh, you don't get it till June?
For months?
Yeah.
I think it's back order for like 3 months, yeah.
Well, that would be a disappointment.
That's like the iPhone XS.
I mean, for as quickly as the news cycle goes, Sister Jean's going to be a thing of the past by June.
You're like, what is this?
What did I order?
Why?
Is this one of those drunken Amazon orders
again? Is
this again?
My grandma?
Why is this elderly woman holding a basketball?
In the middle of summer. What is this?
No, we'll always love.
Hey, Grandma, I got your bobblehead.
Yeah. Sister Jean.
Of you.
Oh, man.
All right.
I'd still order it. It goes to charity.
Well, it goes to the school, the program, maybe?
Yeah, part of the school, and then also
There's a charity. There's a charity.
There's a charity to it,
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you got to do the right thing.
And you can get a T-shirt, though, now, because she's given her blessing to use her name and...
Well, have you seen the Blues Brothers T-shirt?
No.
The Mission from God one?
Mission from God.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Where she and Jake and Elwood, you know, because remember there was the nun, right?
The nun in Blues Brothers.
Right. Blues Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that's like a perfect, you know, boys.
Right.
And this is going to be one of this. That is a top seller. That's a great image. You got to just be happy. I was walking around the downtown campus over the weekend, and it is, you know, there's posters everywhere. There's a feeling here.
It finally feels like a college campus.
That never felt like a college campus.
Yeah.
But because it's the water
location.
Tower campus is across from the water tower, right?
Yeah.
Could there be a better?
But it's kind of beautifully the Rogers Park one is kind of beautifully intertwined in that area. I like it.
Yes.
The lakefront.
Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Loyola Athletic Fund.
Okay.
So money's going to that.
That sounds good.
Right. Hey guys, the Ice Girls are here.
Say what's
be
up.
Nice to them, Violetta.
I'm nice.
Oh,
you always give each other those mean girl stares.
Oh, I think one of them just mean mugged you.
Hey, guys. They always post up right in front of us signing their,
like
their calendars.
Violetta.
I know. And now today they have sweaters on the back. It says Ice Crew. How cool.
They even got a sponsor.
One day, Violetta. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I know.
I feel it.
Have you been working on your skate, your craft, your figure skating?
Yeah, but I think that's very minimal as what it takes to be a nice girl. That's like the least required thing on the sheet.
What else do you need to have?
You know, good hair. A good attitude.
Charisma.
Yeah. Integrity.
You've got all that.
Integrity. I don't know. That might be low.
I don't know.
I think Violetta is going to be... It's the beginning of the long, hard crawl to the middle for Violetta right now.
To the middle.
Yeah. I mean, this is you gotta aim big here. I mean, these are lovely people, but you got to remember, you're a radio star in this town, young lady.
Thanks. Would you go talk to them for me and tell them that I'm cool?
And this town is chock full of kids just like you.
We promise the girl over there is really cool. If you have to relay that message, it's not a good one.
It's like explaining a joke to someone.
Kind of, yeah. You just got to be cool.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I'm going to go talk to them. Bye.
All right,
see, let us know how it works out.
Here is Judy standing by with the WGN News in 2 minutes. It's Rokoncho with Anna DeWantis live from the United Center as we get ready for the Hawks taking on the San Jose Sharks.
Yes.
Brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is feeling good.
I'm excited. We learned how to correctly pronounce Victor Aidsell's name.
Aidsell.
Thanks to. Wait.
It's Aidsell.
Aid.
Oh, Aid? I thought he said Aidsell.
And the J is silent.
What were you calling him?
Aidsell.
Aidsell. You have it wrong. It's Aidsell.
John Weideman told us.
Aidsell.
I thought it was Aidsell. Whatever.
No. Did he say Aidsell?
Yeah, I thought it was Aidsell, not Aidsell.
Well, why don't you go down to the locker room and ask him right now, Kevin.
Go check on that again.
I'll phone him.
Maybe Scott King, who's the Blackhawks correspondent for WGN and host of Blackhawks Crazy, can tell us. How do you pronounce it?
Clear it up.
The winner is Aidsell.
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 Nice.
Not Aidsell. Aidsell.
Not egg salad.
You got that?
Got it. Aidsell.
Okay.
And it's EJD, in case anyone was wondering.
This is I got to tell you that the fact that we're debating this on the last full week of the season
these are important things
is really, really bothering me. Second to last full week of the season. It's really troubling me that here we are. This is the situation that we're in. Violetta can't get hooked up with the
ice crew
over here.
Been a lost year.
They seem to have actually given somebody some flowers over there and a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Violetta literally is crawling through.
She's lurking.
The
like, hey,
crowd
guys.
To get to this, to find out.
I do think she might have a point, though, that they sort of taunt her a little bit because they always seem to be doing their stuff right in front of her. Have you noticed that? They're always sort of greeting people.
She's shaking hands with the ice crew right now.
Good eye contact.
Yeah,
She's good. She's very paw forward.
Solid.
She walks into everything and she just introduces herself.
She's like an assassin, though.
She's very good. Right. But that's the thing. We just, all of a sudden, you turn around. It's like the Americans.
Uh-huh. She'll creep up on you and you never know.
Like, so you know, they're down an ice curl. Violetta steps right in.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Wow, how coincidental.
Guys, there's an opening and I'm here. I'm totally in.
I can ice skate.
It looks like it's the ice girl, like, The person who runs it is she's talking to her right now. She's working.
Making her move. This is what we're seeing right now. The head of the ice girl crew.
She actually loves Violetta. We saw her at the Blackhawks convention, and she was all about it. She was giving her card. I think it's the actual girls that
really aren't into it.
But the convention, Kev, as you might remember, was in July.
Right.
It is now the end of March, and she does not. She hasn't been on the ice yet.
Still working it.
Don't call us; we'll call you.
I think
what
that's
happened.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
We'll be in touch.
It looks friendly. The interaction. I'm hopeful. Very hopeful.
She picked lint off of Violetta's sweater just a couple seconds ago.
I noticed a lot of lint on her sweater.
Kind of an interesting thing. So I don't know. That's some sort of ice girl grooming thing that goes on. I think it's some poor. All right, Scott. We just had John Weideman in, and I said, is there going to be something blockbuster in the off season here? And John kind of pushed back on that a little bit. But I think people want to be careful about making too grand of a prediction, but I'm not afraid. I think you're going to see something fairly blockbuster happen here.
I think so. I think something big is going to happen. Look, not just because a lot of the core has kind of regressed and you don't know if they're going to be able to regain those steps that they lost, but because they have money for the first time in a long time. They're going to know how to use Marian Hossa's LTIR clause heading into the season. They're going to have about $12 million after they sign a couple more guys, like maybe an Anthony Duclair, who are not going to cost a lot of money. So they're going to have money to play with, and what do they need? They need a top defenseman. You can't expect Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook to go back to playing like they did in 2010, 2013. They're just not going to. those guys are 32 and 34 in the NHL, that is a bit older. And I think those guys will have better years than they did this year, but I think you need a top defenseman to play with Duncan Keith.
It's always tough, though, as fans, we get attached to players and players who have done so well over the years, but it is a reality that some of our favorites tend to have, they don't necessarily stay with the team. And do you think any of those big names that we know and love may not be here?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think that's why fans are having such a hard time with this. They got so attached to your Jonathan Taves, your Duncan Keyes, your Brent Seabrooks.
Sharp came back.
Yeah, Sharp came back. And, yeah, hopefully not many people expect a lot out of him. He's older, and I think, you know, whether it's this year or next year, he just wanted to finish his career here.
Do you think he retires here?
I think so.
You think he retires after this season?
Look, if I had to guess, I would guess he... You know, he's going to finish with 20 points or more. I think, you know, that's for a guy who's in the fourth line going in and out of the lineup. You could be happy with that. He had an outstanding career, 3 Stanley Cups, a gold medal, and maybe, you know, you see him on WGN TV or NBC Sports Chicago calling the games next year.
I think
as soon as he retires, he's on TV.
He's camera ready for sure.
Let's be honest, right? My sense is that you see him at NBC Sports Net.
I think so too. And Burrish.
Perfect.
My guess. To answer your question, Anna, I think it's gonna be hard to move those core guys that have lost a step that hopefully bounce back because they all have no trade clauses and they have huge contracts. Where even if you do talk them into waiving no trade clause, I don't know if another team's gonna want to invest that kind of money in guys who are older that have had great careers, but they don't play the way they used to.
They're going to need a goalie, Scott, either way. Whether it's a starter or a backup, we'll see how this Corey Crawford story develops. But are there any names out there that you think Hawks fans should keep an eye out when we enter free agency?
I think, wasn't Yaroslav Halak one of them? And he kind of had a bad game in that the other night. So I don't know. It's tough to guess where guys are going to fall, who they can go after. You would like to see Antti Raanta and Scott Darling still in those backup roles, but those guys are long gone. They're starters on other teams now. Raanta having a very good season with the Coyotes, despite them being a subpar team, and Darling's kind of the other case where he's struggled this year. But, yeah, I don't know who's going to be in that, but it's clear that Jeff Glass isn't getting the job done. He was back in Rockford after having a nice kind of Cinderella story here where he played well in his first couple games, and he couldn't get the job done. Forsberg had a good bounce-back 3-1 win where he made 31 saves the other night, and Berube has kind of struggled too, so you're not getting what you need out of your backups, but you're also asking them to play like starters. So it's been a real rough season for their goaltending.
Is that the biggest need in the offseason?
It depends on Crawford's situation. Look, we don't know. It sounds less and less like he's going to come back. We don't know. Joel Quenneville doesn't sound optimistic about it. It's been for months. Yeah.
Might not come back this season.
Yeah, exactly. Not come back this season. But, I mean, the truth is we don't know if he's going to come back next season. We don't know anything. That's to be fair. I would expect him back next season. That's why they took him off the ice.
Why do I know more about Donald Trump's sex life than I do about the status of my favorite goalie in the NHL? I don't like the way the NHL plays. I prefer the way the NFL does it, where they send you an X-ray in your email.
Right. Well, it depends. First, it depends what you spend your time Googling. No, I just think that's what makes the news, you know?
Blackhawks fans are trying to make sense of this season, right? Because it's something we haven't seen in 10 years. They haven't had a good year. They're in last place. How would you summarize this season? What went wrong for the Blackhawks this year?
How much time do you have? How long is this segment?
I know. John said the same thing, but like that's my point. It's like everyone's like can't wrap their head around the fact that
what you can do, Kevin, is you can prioritize how big the issues are. You brought up goaltending. That's for me. That's probably the second biggest issue because you hope that Crawford can play and be your number one starter. Then you got to go get a backup who has some experience playing, maybe even used to be a starter. But then, you know, why did the goalies have such a rough year? A lot of that's because of the defense. We talked about Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. The whole defense has kind of been a mess on and off this season. Maybe Quenneville changed up the pairings too quickly with a lot of young guys in the lineup, but that needs to get fixed.
All right. All right, easy, everybody. It's hard
deep
enough.
Deep breaths.
Now. I know. I got this feeling that when we reconvene here, we'll be here next week for the home closer. But you know, I think when we get back here in October, my sense is that the team's going to look significantly different, and you're not going to have that at least one major name from this championship run is not going to be here. I mean, obviously, you've got, you know, Sharp is probably going to be here, but I think that, you know, it might go even deeper than that, and we'll see. There have been some interesting, you know, theories about what's going to happen in the draft, and there, you know, obviously, you got a guy who's a game changer who's going to come out number one.
you know, we'll have to see if the Hawks want to try to make a move for that, a packaging move for that. There's been a lot of, certainly, a lot of talk around Jonathan Taves. There's been a lot of talk around, you know, the one thing you don't hear is Patrick Kane's name floated in any of that. But, you know, surprisingly, you do hear Jonathan Taves' name floated. So we'll just have to see what happens and know that this has been a great run. We want to continue to have a great run. But still, fans are coming out and enjoying this, and that's the most important thing.
Yep.
Although I did see for the first time in my life of coming to hockey games at the old Chicago Stadium and here, and even at the amphitheater, I have never seen in real life a San Jose Sharks sweater, and I just saw three of them walk through.
They don't travel.
I don't like teal. Teal doesn't go with anything.
Okay,
I found.
Okay,
unless, except for white. Sometimes a little bit with black, which is the way the Sharks are working it. I don't like teal.
The logo's cool.
Yeah,
I like the logo.
Right. It's okay.
Yeah.
Hard to compete,
like
though. Okay. Hard to compete in this building.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then I know of all the logos right now in the NHL, I kind of think the Golden Knights, other than the Hawks. I mean, the Hawks in Montreal are my two favorites.
Totally.
But once you get off the 06 teams, I think that Las Vegas, dear God, what happened there? Are the Russians behind them? What happened?
We need some kind of investigation within the league.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, but it would be okay if the Russians were behind.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to have free time after next week. So.
There's several guys in the league who speak Russian, so they could be helpful.
Right. Scott, get on that, would you?
I will.
All right. Because I think I might be on to something. Putin is behind the Las Vegas winning here. 101 points for an expansion team.
It's what they've done has been absolutely remarkable. It's how they drafted, the coach they got, how he's coached, how they've played. It's really been special to watch.
It's because their home record, because every team comes in there, parties, and then loses to them.
That's true, too.
That is true. Damn it.
I see what they're doing there, and I don't like it.
That's part of Nashville's appeal, too, I think.
I think so, too. Nash Vegas. Like Vegas, too, right?
Yeah.
Nash Vegas.
Yeah. And New York used to be like that, but now people are kind of used to it, and they're like, that's too much of a hassle to go out. All right. Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, guys. Always
good
to see you.
King.
Listen for Blackhawks Crazy on WGN Plus. Right now, should we check in with Violetta with the WGN traffic trouble spots. Are you okay? She was having trouble getting her headset on. She almost knocked herself out.
I did. I got it on. I'm a little flustered after talking to the ice girls, but I'm okay. Anyway, I'm not
Can't
on
wait
the team.
To hear about that, by
I'm
the
not
way.
On the team yet. Right now, travel times are recovering pretty much. If you're still coming to the United Center inbound, Eisenhower struggling at 50 minutes Thorndale to the old post office. No delays outbound at 25 minutes. If you want personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Violetta Podrometic, WGN Traffic.
Planning a family reunion? Why not make it a destination reunion and create a lifetime of memories with Steve Bertrand Travel? Steve creates customized European tours for any group of six or more. He takes the hassle out of travel planning so you can sit back and enjoy. Find out more at SteveBertrandTravel.com or 847-606-6065. That's a good number, 847-606-6065, or SteveBertrandTravel.com. All right, it's Roe Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN Chicago.
Yes,
Anna.
I'm watching this, and we should describe it for the listeners because they're missing something.
Because Violetta is auditioning right now for the Ice Girls, even though they've left the area.
Hey, guys, come back.
Did you just do the sprinkler move?
Yeah, is that not cool anymore?
I mean, I don't know if it was ever cool.
It wasn't. Did you, may I ask this question? You went over and you sucked up to the chief ice girl.
Oh, she's just talking.
Yeah, I was just chit-chatting.
Yeah.
Maybe a little schmoozing.
Uh-huh.
Don't let Violetta watch I, Tanya. We don't need her to get any ideas.
Jeez, one of the ice girls went down.
Oh, my God. She really is Tanya Harding. She's our own Tanya Harding.
No, I'm not.
Get Boris over here. I need him to take care of something.
Yeah, Boris is going to sabotage the wrong girl on accident.
That's exactly, I see that.
So, actually, I don't have to do anything crazy because one of the ice girls is actually retiring today.
Whoa.
There's an opening.
Opening is right. So, this is my opportunity.
They retire from the ice girl?
Yes. She's been on it for 4 years, Elena. Today today is her last game that her parents are going to be at, so they're honoring her.
Congrats to Elena.
And I talked to Elena, and I am talking about her now and honoring her and her a long career with the Blackhawks ice crew. Uh-huh. So I would appreciate if she puts in a good word for me and also does me a favor by mentioning, you know, that I am very passionate.
Sure.
And I...
Can you skate?
Yeah, I can skate. And I, you know...
Can you clean up ice shavings?
I think I could, and I could do it with a smile.
I think I can. I just know I can.
What are the other requirements, do you think, Kev?
All right, we got to go. Thank you so much. Chicago Blackhawks hockey is on the air right after this.